At least, I think you're Mador.
Provided the Krom was still in Mador's dragon body, and the gods hadn't screwed with them again. Because that was how their luck was running. Ever the rubric of solve one problem and create another.
Falcon sent me here to watch over you. I'm the one who goaded Medea into going to Falcon, hoping he'd be able to get to you and help you out of here.
I didn't count on his overreaction that would result in her death. Guess I should have. Orion's breath caught in his throat as he heard that unexpected, sweet, lilting voice that he'd thought was lost to his dreams. Zin. He wanted to run to her, to hold her and kiss those lips, but this, right now, was between her and her brothers, so he stayed out of it. Pale and standing on unsteady feet, she had one arm braced against the wall nearest her.
Zin, is it really you?
She gave Falcon a wan smile. Greetings, brother.
His own limbs shaking, he crossed the room to gather her into his arms.
How?
I don't know. One minute I was frozen, and then I was here, wherever this is.
Falcon fisted his hand in her long flame-red hair that parted to show off her pointed ears. Orion couldn't move or breathe as her translucent, vibrant green gaze steered him. She was still one of the most beautiful women he'd ever seen. Her presence staggered him. He fell back and leaned against a stone for support because he didn't trust his legs to hold him, not right now. She pulled back to stare at Mador.
Falcon is your father, Mador. Just as Blaze is your son.
That sucked every bit of the air from the room and had the same impact as a nuclear bomb detonating in their midst. Blaze stumbled back.
What?
Zin nodded.
I was there when you were born. Your mother was furious, thinking your albinism had to do with Max's curse.
What curse?
Falcon winced.
I never told Blaze the truth, Zin. He had no idea about that.
Her jaw went slack. I'm so sorry. I assumed he knew.
Falcon shook his head.
By the time I learned about his birth, he was grown. I didn't have the heart to tell him then. Thanks, sister.
You're always good at ratting me out. Mador sat down.
Blaze
is my son? How?
Zin sighed.
Or Mara. She hid her pregnancy from you and was hoping to parlay Blaze's birth to her advantage.
When I was born deformed, she tried to kill me.
Brogan moved to hold Blaze.
You're not deformed. And I killed her for her actions against you, Blaze, Zin said. You were still wet from cracking open your egg when I took you to be raised by your adoptive father. The only truth you knew was that your father was the leader of the Mandrakes.
He just assumed it was the Mandrake before Mador because only a tiny handful of Fae knew Mador was the first of their breed. Another lie told that was meant only to wound and hurt and divide a family.
Damn those
who sought only to make mischief for mischief's sake. They were the root of all evil, not greed or money. Mador growled at Zin.
You should have told me about him.
I was planning to. Once I knew he was safe, but I was trapped here before I had the chance.
With a fierce roar, Mador started for Zin, only to be stopped by some unseen force.
You can't harm her.
Brogan reminded him.
I haven't given you her name. I hate all of you,
he roared. Falcon glared at him.
How dare you? Feel free to hate me all you want. I deserve it. Blaze, however, has never done anything to deserve your animosity for him. He's your son, one you've treated like hell and mocked over the centuries for no reason whatsoever. You owe him an apology.
Mador gaped at Falcon.
You're daring to lecture me on parenthood.
Seriously?
Yeah, and I'll bust your ass, boy. Don't ever think I can't take you in a fight, I promise you. I've eaten much tougher hides than yours and used their scales for shoes. If you want to act like a child, then I'll treat you like one.
The real Crom made a noise deep inside the dragon's body.
What's going on, Brogan? You about to spew?
She shook her head.
It's the strife between the two of you. It feeds him, makes him...
The Crom dissolved all the bonds that held his dragon's body and stood up.
Stronger,
she finished with a squeak. Blaze took her hand and pulled her behind him. What's he doing now?
Not sure.
Falcon put his hand out to stop Medea from engaging the beast as she moved in for an attack, because the Crom wasn't the only dragon rising. All of them were, and he wasn't sure what that signified. But with their luck, it wasn't a good thing.
Mador,
Falcon glanced to his son.
You want to return to your real body?
His whip sizzled as he turned a slow circle to survey the number of original dragons who were now a little more than just plain pissed off. And since they had no other target, they were circling the only enemy they found in the room. Them. The whole group. And that included their leader, that they couldn't identify as a dragon since he was in the Crom's body and had no head.
Yeah, I think I do.
Orion couldn't blame him there. Judging by the mood of the newly animated dragons, anything not one of their scaly clan was about to get eaten. Lombre rose up in an effort to block the dragons, but they passed right through his non-corporeal form. Orion rolled his eyes.
Good to be a shadow, huh? Makes me wish I were one.
He lifted his sword and shield and prepared to attack. Just as Falcon renewed that stupid incantation that had gotten them into this mess, a bright light flashed near them. It was intense and searing, so much so that it temporarily blinded them. Until Asheron's demon companion, Simi, jumped out of it. Dressed in her short purple skirt, black and red striped leggings, and a matching corset, she drew up short as she surveyed everyone around her. Her red horns sprouted on top of her head as a tail came out from underneath her short skirt. A set of leathery bat wings sprang out, letting Orion know the not-so-little Karanti goth demon meant business. He laughed. Yeah, they had no idea what they were dealing with.
Hide your children. Hide your wife. Hide your pets.
Orion smiled at her.
Simi, what are you doing here?
She shrugged.
Akhridan told the Simi that you'd be acting all weird and funky lately, and that the Simi should be keeping her eyeball on you, Akhri-Uri. So, your heart rate was picked up during my commercial break, and it got my attention. Since I knew you wouldn't be with no heifer, cow-like, red-headed goddess creature doing things that make the Simi go blind, I thought you'd be troubled. So, then I thought, Simi, you best be checking on that old ex-daemon to make sure he okay and not about to get ate by something not friendly.
Simi scowled as she put her finger to her cheek to consider her words.
No, that'd be wrong. Be in trouble,
she grinned widely, flashing her fangs.
You in trouble, Akhri-Uri? Can the Simi eat your troubles? Because I don't think these dragonlies be on the Simi no-eat list. Pretty sure Akhri won't mind if the Simi eats them up.
She bit her lip with a childish enthusiasm that made Orion smile, especially as she reached into her coffin backpack and pulled out her lobster bib and bottle of barbecue sauce to prepare. The moment she did, the dragons backed away. And that made Mador nervous as hell.
What's going on?
Zin laughed. Oh, hun, no one is dumb enough to tangle with the hungry Karanti. Don't you know? Simi gasped.
No! Say it no so, the Simi's so hungry! It's been all 20 minutes since the Simi ate her last diamond.
She pouted as she turned around, looking for a meal. More dragons shrank away.
Yeah,
Orion blustered at them.
That's right. I've got a Karanti here, and I'm not afraid to unleash her. Ha!
A dragon sneezed beside him, blowing out fire that came a little too close to Orion. Orion dashed to Simi's side, putting her between them. Are you fireproof, Sim?
Bombproof, too!
She belched and shot out a stream of fire that caused several dragons to scramble for cover.
See?
Ah, you bunch of hatchlings! With his hands on his hips, Falcon finished putting Mador back into his body. The moment the Krom was himself again, he picked up his whip and went straight to Brogan. Brogan held her hand up to let them know that it was all right. After a few seconds and a few whispered words in his ear, she nodded.
Peace to you, Krom.
With a curt jerk of his coat, he flashed himself onto the back of his horse and vanished.
What did he say?
Blaze asked.
She smiled warmly. That he never wants to be a dragon again. You can keep your smelly old body.
Orion scowled at Brogan. That's all? An evil light danced in her eyes.
I might have given him the name Morgan.
Medea cleared her throat to remind them of the other dragons who were still glaring at them. Zin yawned.
How long have we slept?
Centuries, Blaze and Falcon said simultaneously. An unhappy murmur ran through the dragon horde.
See me eat them now, since they are grumbly?
Her wings twitched with expectation.
The dragons quieted immediately. Medea laughed. Nice to know you. Don't just scare daemons, Simi. Simi pressed her finger to her lips and cocked her head in an adorable expression. She scowled, then smiled at Medea.
The Simi knows you. I've seen you lots and lots. You're the evil princess who lives with the Simi's Akra in Colossus.
She's also my sister. Simi gasped at Orion's words, then caught herself.
Oh, yeah. I should've... But wait. Your daddy is fake Akri.
She pressed her hands to her eyebrows.
Then Simi is so confused.
Orion laughed. So am I, most days. Sobering, he gently pulled one of her hands down until she opened her eyes to look at him. Just remember that I was taken out of my mother's womb before I was born and put into the belly of another. So the Appellite who birthed me wasn't really my mother, and Stryker wasn't really my father. Styx is my father, and Bethany is my real mom.
Ah! Like Simi, you're adaptable!
Orion's grin widened. Yeah.
Wait,
Brandor scowled. Does she mean adopted?
No, silly.
Arms akimbo, Simi rolled her eyes.
Even though we both were adopted, the Simi meant adaptable, because Akri Ori had to live with people not his people. He's not really a daemon, he's a demigod, which is better. Sometimes, anyway.
She tisked as she looked back at Orion.
I'm sorry, Akri Ori. That was why you have sadness, besides Phoebe sadness.
His eyes darkened.
No, Sim. Mostly I just have Phoebe sadness.
She held her barbecue sauce out toward him.
Wanna eat a dragon? Make you feel all better. Give you warm and fuzzies in the belly.
And that succeeded in driving the dragons toward the shadows and Lombre into a fit.
No, no, no. You're not to hide in my domain. Get out, mangy beasts.
Brandor cleared his throat to disguise his laughter.
You know, with all this noise, Morgan is bound to realize what's happened. We might want to think about getting out of here before she sends something or someone to investigate.
Falcon nodded to his sister.
Granted, she should be a little preoccupied with the Krom after her. You still should take them to my island, just to be safe.
She arched a brow at his order. All of them? You really plan to tolerate us in your personal space?
It'll be the safest place for them.
Zin kissed his cheek.
Love you.
You too.
She scoffed at his response.
I live for the day, Veles, when you can say that word without choking on it.
And with that, she gathered the dragons and left through the portal. Orion followed Zin to Falcon's Island home, which was absolutely breathtaking. Open and airy, and yet technically a cavern, it was large and spacious with a stunning ocean view. The enchanted walls were crystal clear, so that he could look out but not be seen by anyone else. The transparency of the walls made them shimmer and sparkle from the daylight that burned the eyes, but not the skin. He could see why Falcon had chosen it. However, that was the last thing Orion had on his mind. Zin? He reached for her and pulled her into a dark alcove, away from the others. Finally, they were alone. And now that they were, he was lost and unsure. Did she even remember him? She hadn't acted like it. Maybe she'd suffered a head wound that had left her with amnesia. What did he say to her after all these years? Siroxen trembled as she looked up into the bluest eyes she'd ever known. She'd forgotten what a huge, overwhelming beast Orion was, which was shocking, really, given that she was used to dragon swains, who were even larger, and yet somehow he made them seem smaller, weaker. There was an innate power to him that the others lacked. And at the same time, he was sexier than anyone she'd ever known because, for all his power and ruthlessness, he would never harm her. He was a protector, unlike anyone she'd ever met. He kept that vicious strength restrained and under control. This close, you could feel the lethal killer inside him, the demon that salivated for blood. Yet he'd made love to her like a poet, and touched her with the tenderest of care. That was the beauty of her daemon. Love and happiness rushed through her and set her heart to pounding. But it wasn't enough to drown out her fear that he'd rebuff her after all this time. She didn't know what to say to him after all this time. She just abandoned him, not out of choice. Still, did it matter? She could only imagine the hurt and pain he must have felt, thinking she'd just moved on, or worse, that she'd died. So, she did the only thing she could think of to do. Stepping into his arms, she kissed him. Orion growled at the taste of Zin's lips, of her sweet tongue sweeping against his as her arms wrapped around his waist. His body roared to life with a vengeance that was terrifying. In the distance, he heard someone calling her name. She deepened her kiss before she pulled away and nipped his chin. "Give me a few minutes." There wasn't enough blood left in his brain to form a coherent thought. Okay. Zin laughed. "Orion?" She cupped his face and rubbed noses with him. "You'll be here when I get back?"
"I will."
Nothing could make him leave.
"Okay."
With a ragged breath, he leaned back against the wall as she went to help the dragons settle in. Then he glanced down at the sizable lump in his jeans. Damn, that was really obvious and embarrassing. He wasn't about to leave the shadows any time in the near future.
"At least you know it still works."
True, it had been so long at this point, he had begun to wonder. And that thought was still on his mind a few minutes later when Zin returned as a faint whisper. Laughing in his ear, she wrapped herself around him and teleported him from his shadows into a bedroom. "What are you doing?" She left him to lock the door, then returned to stand in front of him. Biting her lip in a way that only further inflamed him, she ran her finger down his chest, raising chill bumps the whole way.
"Can you still use your magic to conjure clothes?"
"Yeah."
An evil grin broke across her face.
"Good."
Before he could ask her why she wanted to know, she ripped open his shirt from hem to neck and attacked him, as if she were starving and he was the last steak at a banquet. Orion couldn't have been more floored had she set him on fire and used his balls for kindling. She ran her hands across his entire body while she licked and sucked his skin until he thought he'd go blind from it. With her powers, she flipped him and tossed him onto the bed, then dissolved both their clothes. Sucking his breath in, he surrendered himself completely to her fierce caresses. Never had a woman been so forceful with him. He loved it. Zin grazed Orion's throat with her teeth and licked his whiskers. allowing them to prick at her tongue. I'm so glad you followed me and the others here. He brushed against her ear as he tongued it and cupped her breast in his hand. His fingers toyed with her nipple in a way that had her wet and aching. Oh, Zin, how could I not? I've missed you so. She nipped his chin while she fisted her hands against his muscular back and pressed her bare body into his. Ah, God, his skin felt so good. She wanted to cry at the peace she experienced by exploring him again. It was truly Katateros. And it was then that she realized what was missing. How could she have missed it? Shocked and amazed, she pulled back to scowl at his chest. Ori? Where's your daemon, Mark? He glanced down to where her hand rested over his heart. I'm not a daemon anymore. I was fixed. Not exactly the correct word, but he couldn't think of anything better to use. A long time ago.
You're human?
No, I'm kind of unique.
But you don't feed on souls.
Or blood.
She let out a peculiar half-laugh. You eat food?
I do.
Her eyes turned warm and adoring.
Oh, how I wish I'd been there the first time you ate to see your face.
You didn't miss much, other than a lot of cursing that followed the biting of my tongue.
Zin laughed for real then, at the image she had of him trying to figure out how to chew when he'd never had to do so before.
My Orion.
That's me, ever brain damaged?
No, definitely not. She kissed him, reveling in the miracle that was her daemon.
I could just eat you up.
I'm at your disposal.
She shook her head at these words and she nibbled his neck. He let out such a sound of pleasure that it honestly startled her. Are you okay? He sucked his breath in sharply between his teeth. He cupped her head in his hands.
Depends. Is the truth going to be a buzzkill or a turn-on?
What do you mean?
His gaze burned her as he sank his hand into her hair. I haven't been with anyone in a long time, Zin. My heart was broken one time too many. Her gaze fell down to the tattoo on his arm, where he bore the black tears that marked the passing of his loved ones. It was something all daemons did to honor and remember those they'd lost. Dipping her head down, she kissed his mark.
Do you want me to leave?
No!
She smiled, then nipped his chin. Orion groaned as she slid her hand down to touch his cock. He felt his powers surge through him. Oh yeah, that was the most incredible pleasure. It had been so long since anyone else had touched him that he'd forgotten what it felt like. Capturing her lips, he pressed her hips closer to his. She gave a low whistle of appreciation as she took him into her hand, then traced a line up his tattoo of his father's shield pattern.
You've changed this, too,
he nodded.
I made it look more like my father's.
Striker?
Laughing, he shook his head.
You've missed so much. I'm the son of Styx, not Striker. Striker and I are at war, but I don't want to talk about hate.
Not while I'm with you.
And not when she gave him that look right there that seared him to the core of his soul. Zin ran her hungry gaze over his tawny body. Every muscle was a study of sinewy grace and perfection, all man and all hot. His chest was dusted by golden hairs, not too thick, just enough to be manly and appealing. Goodness, how she'd miss touching a man and being close to one like this. Orion had always touched her in a way no one had, and not physically, emotionally. A part of her was still timid to touch him for fear that her dragon powers would kick in and she'd scorch him. But the other part of her was desperate to be held, just for a little while.
You don't like false people, do you?
He narrowed his gaze at her. Are you reading my mind?
No, it's strictly from what you've said. I told you, I've never been able to read your thoughts and I don't know why.
Which was so odd, because she normally could read those of others. Orion had always been different. He gave her a cocky grin.
It doesn't take much to read them right now.
He gave her a scorching once-over. Zin laughed until he dipped his fingers into the part of her that craved him most. Orion stared down at her. A wicked light came into his eyes, as he kissed his way down her body. He paused to lave her breasts. Ribbons of heated pleasure burned through her while his fingers continued to tease and play and delve deep inside her. Then, ever so slowly, he continued south until he replaced his hand with his lips. Zin arched her back as her body twitched and ached in response to his masterful touch. Before she could draw another breath, her body shattered as one of the most intense orgasms of her life claimed her. Still, he continued to please her until he wrung another one from her spasming body. She sank her hand in his soft hair, tugging at it as he continued to tease her over and over. Orion growled at how good she tasted. It had been way too long since he'd last had a woman. Hell, he'd had so little interest in them lately that he'd begun to fear he was broken. But there were no inhibitions or hesitation with her, even though he should have them in spades. They really needed to be focused on other things right now, but he didn't give a shit. Let them die and the world end. He didn't care. He needed her more than anything. Unable to stand it anymore, he pulled back from her. He lifted her hips and drove himself deep inside her body. She cried out his name. Smiling, he thrust against her, seeking solace in her warm softness. Zin balled her fist in Urien's soft white hair as she buried her face in his neck to inhale the warm, masculine scent of his skin. There was so much power in him, so much skill in the way he filled her and touched her. It was like he knew every way to wring as much pleasure from every thrust as he could, and to be able to have him again like this, it was incredible. For the first time in centuries, she felt human. "Harder, baby," she purred in his ear, wanting him to love her with everything he had. This was the most incredible moment of her life, and when he finally came, she joined him. Completely spent and sated, she leaned back onto the bed while he was still inside her. Her breathing ragged, she kept her legs wrapped around his waist while he stared into her eyes and toyed with her belly button.
"That was incredible."
He flashed a devilish grin.
"Glad I could oblige."
He ran his hand around her breast, traced the line of her intricate tattoo, then gave it a light squeeze as he brushed her hardened nipple with his thumb. A smile curved his lips as he remembered when she'd had her tattoo done. It was of a black sword wrapped with a pink rose for her strength. At the bottom was a red-headed pixie-like woman, and above her, a half-dragon rising up to shield and protect her. The dragon matched his shield, and beneath the dragon's wings, she'd placed the words, "I am woman, born of pain. Hear me roar." Done to remind herself that while she was dragonborn and capable of extreme and utter violence, she was also capable of mercy and compassion. But what made him smile were the words that had been added since the last time he'd seen her that went down the back of the sword.
"You took my advice?"
She picked his hand up and lifted it to her lips so that she could nip his fingertips. "Only because I wanted something to remind me of you. And I love the way you see me. Don't agree, mind you, but I love that you think of me that way."
"That I do."
He kissed the words that were there now. "I am invincible." Then he shivered as her tongue darted between his fingers. He didn't know why, but it brought out a tenderness inside him, something protective and scary. But then she'd always done that. It was like the demon in him wanted to claim her and kill anyone who came near her, anyone who hurt her or even looked at her wrong. It was feral and powerful. And she owned that part of him. She always had. Right now, he felt like his entire body was made of thrumming electricity that needed to ignite and explode. Sex with her had always heightened and strengthened his psychic abilities, but this was different. He'd never felt anything like this before. She nibbled at his knuckle.
"Is that one part about your daemonness still true?"
"Yes. We all have a second penis hidden in our thigh.
She laughed out loud. Where did that come from? I don't know. You hear all kinds of stupidity coming out of the mouths of Dark Hunters when you hang out with them. I'm always appalled and offended by about 90% of everything they say. Zin shook her head. I mean, can you still go all night and have multiple orgasms? He pressed himself deeper inside her so that she could tell he was already hard again and ready for more. Oh, yes, ma'am. The one definite perk for my people, which he'd always assumed had been done either as a punishment or a way to ensure that they could procreate in their exceedingly short lifespans. She tightened her thighs around him. You're telling me you're the ready? He kissed her lightly on the lips. Dearest Lady Dragon, I'm ready to go until neither of us can walk. She sucked her breath in sharply as he teased her nipple with his tongue. Ah, he felt so good. I intend to hold you to that. Then far be it from me to disappoint you. Zin had just finished her third orgasm when a strange buzzing started.
What is that?
Hold on a second. Orion used his powers to pull a peculiar thing to his hand that illuminated. He held it up to his ear. Hey, little buddy, what you need? That was a strange tone she'd never heard him use before. Well, no, I can't kill your brother. I can give him a stern talking to for taking your Legos. What did your dad say? Zin sat up and frowned as she tried to make sense of his conversation. I see, and Uncle Chris? Crossing her legs, she bit her lip at the perplexed frown on his face. No, no, Eric, don't kill your brother. You might need bail money one day, and I might not be available for it. And Phoebe could hold that whole Barbie incident from last year against you. Just calm down and breathe. Your brother's life is worth more than a video game, I promise. I know it doesn't seem that way right now, but in an hour, you will move past this. She heard someone yelling on the other end. Yeah, okay. I'll talk soon. Love you. Laughing, he lowered the little rectangle.
Should I ask?
He used his finger to swipe at the box, then held up a painting of a dark-haired boy with a huge, exaggerated smile on his face. My nephew, Eric.
He's adorable.
Some days. He pulled it back to swipe again. He was about to kill this little guy. He showed a brown-haired boy with similar features who was a few years younger. Tyre, which of your brothers do they belong to? All the humor left his face then, and a deep, dark sadness swallowed the light in his eyes. The turmoil was so tragic that it made her gut tighten. Orion? He flipped to another image, this one of a beautiful girl with reddish hair. Little Phoebe.
She's beautiful.
Orion drew a ragged breath. I thought you were dead, Zin.
I know. You had no way of knowing what had happened.
And then she saw the guilt in his eyes.
You found someone?
He nodded. Anger shot through her. For the merest instant, she feared Orion had tricked her, but she caught herself before she reacted. Orion wouldn't do that. Granted, she'd been gone a long time. Still, integrity like his didn't vanish. And she had her own guilt to carry. Even if it had been to help her family, she couldn't imagine the pain and sorrow that Orion had experienced for the centuries that they had been apart. She knew that. Plus, he told her that he hadn't been with anyone, not in a long while.
What happened?
Phoebe died 14 years ago. A tear slid from the corner of his eye, and he quickly wiped it away. Grateful she hadn't reacted, Zin pulled him against her.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. No, it wasn't. Not the way her Orion loved. She held him close and rubbed his back. Their mother is her sister.
And you watch over them?
He nodded. I promised her I would.
What of your brothers? How are they?
Orion drew another ragged breath. All gone.
What?
She gasped in shock. He nodded. Atreus was the last to fall.
I lost him in 1962 to a dark hunter. Sympathetic grief brought tears to her eyes as she brushed the hair back from his face. I'm so sorry. He kissed her hand. It's okay, we're daemons, right? Loss is what we're born for. So you've been alone all this time. I still have Davin, he said with a smile, but it quickly faded. We've got to get your brother's egg. That's Davin's only hope for a cure. I need you to talk sense into him, Zen, please.
A cure?
Fury darkened his eyes as a tick started in his jaw. Apollo sent a plague to wipe out the daemons. Whatever it is, Davin has it. I can't lose him.
I won't let you,
she kissed him. Come, let me go smack my brother around. When she started to get up, Orion stopped her. She glanced back with a frown.
Something wrong?
I'm not a daemon anymore. Do you remember what you said?
I remember.
Good. Because I plan to hold you to it. Smiling, Zin watched as he conjured his clothes and then handed her some the likes of which she'd never seen. What is this? Modern clothing. She wrinkled her nose at it. Looks itchy. It is itchy. You get used to it. Besides, once we get this squared away, I intend to get you out of it as quickly as possible. She arched a brow at his tone. There better be a please in that. He snorted. There will be as much begging in there as you require, I promise. He poked his lip out to prove it. Laughing, she stood up on her tiptoes to draw his lip in between her teeth. That's better. Zin swallowed as Orion stepped away and led her from the room. They had much to talk about. A lot had happened to her since the last time she'd seen him. Funny how promises were so easy to give and incredibly hard to keep. Sitting at a small round table at the Café du Monde in New Orleans, DeCostas looked up from his coffee and beignets as a shadow fell over him and blocked his view of the pedestrian mall where he liked to watch the tourists while they shopped and strolled along the busy street. It was even worse than what he'd initially imagined for the interruption. Some poor panhandler begging for spare change or an annoying ass wanting directions. A pouting Girl Scout peddling some overly sweet cookies. Oh no, those nightmares would be far preferable to this pestilent beast who brought with him a sickening sensation that caused DeCostas's jaw to fall slack. Indeed, he wouldn't have been more shocked or stunned to find Apollome herself standing there, glaring hatred at him. He choked down his bite of the sugary confection and took a drink of coffee to clear his throat.
Apollo, to what do I owe this?
He searched for an appropriate word. Honor definitely didn't fit. Horror, not really. Inconvenience would be the most apropos. But since DeCostas was the Atlantean god of justice, moderation, and order, he had a bit more tact than to say that out loud, as it would cause conflict and strife. So he left it open to the Greek god's interpretation while he wiped his mouth with a paper napkin, then gestured at the small metal chair across from him. Apollo accepted the invitation without hesitation. What a peculiar place to find you. I actually thought Clotho was lying when she told me where you were living these days. Little wonder, then, given the fact that the vast majority of his pantheon was currently frozen as statues beneath Acheron's palace in Katateros. But since DeCostas had had the good sense not to cross Apollome's wrath or Styx's sword arm, he was one of the extreme few who'd been left free to roam the earth after they'd broken buck wild on them all a few years ago.
And how are my dear half-Greek nieces?
Worthless as always.
DeCostas didn't comment on that, mostly because he agreed about the three fates. With their great stupidity and rash actions, they had accidentally damned the entire Atlantean race and pantheon in the blink of an eye. Jealous words, spoken in a moment of fear against Acheron, that had played out with devastating consequences for all the rest of them, especially the triplet goddesses. He cleared his throat and pinned Apollo with a cool stare.
You still haven't told me why you're here.
After all, they weren't friends or even friendly. In fact, they hated each other with a fiery zeal. Their pantheons had been mortal enemies back in the day. And the only thing the two of them had in common was their blonde hair, literally. and even it wasn't the same shade. Apollo's was far more golden, and his tended toward brown.
I want information.
DeCostas cocked his brow. The Fates couldn't give you what you wanted? Apollo snorted.
As I said, they're basically worthless. What I need to know predates their births by a number of centuries, and has to do with Apollomy and Kasseri.
Interesting. A waitress came up to ask Apollo for an order. He sneered at her.
Do I look like I eat or drink shit? Be gone from me, mortal scum!
DeCostas sighed at his angry words. So much for Apollo being a god of temperance. That was unnecessary.
So is wasting my time.
Yet Apollo had no problem intruding on his zen and wasting his. Typical. But then Apollo had always been a selfish prick that way. All that mattered was his life and his wants. Everyone else could go to Colossus and rot. Leaning back in his chair, DeCostas sipped his cafe au lait.
Well, if that's what you're after, the person you really want to talk to is Bet. As she'd have the most...
He trailed off as Apollo gave him a harsh stare and he realized the total stupidity of what he was suggesting.
Ah,
DeCostas said with a snide smile.
Guess you can't go there, can you?
Not after Apollo had screwed Bethany over in not one but two separate lifetimes. The Atlantean goddess of wrath and warfare wouldn't take kindly to Apollo going to her for anything other than a full disembowelment, followed with a thorough denutting. And the sun itself would freeze over before she'd ever help the bastard who'd killed her beloved husband and cursed her to lose her son, Orion.
She wouldn't have been there when Apollome set up the Atlantean pantheon anyway. She hadn't been reborn yet, right?
Again, courtesy of Apollo's first brutal betrayal against her and her husband. DeCostas set his coffee cup down and reached for another beignet.
Correct.
Crossing his arms over his chest, Apollo stroked his chin as he thought about something.
So, how did Archon convince the frigid bitch of all time to marry him and establish a pantheon with him as its king so that he could play ruler?
DeCostas snorted at his assumption.
Apollome isn't frigid. Therein is the problem. Her passions run deep and dark. She's ruthless and bloodthirsty, but that doesn't make her cold. She's as fiery as a volcano, and even quicker to erupt, and far deadlier when she peaks.
You still haven't answered my question. Why him? Why then? DeCostas shrugged.
Simple. Someone gave Archon the intel that Apollome was awaiting the return of her precious Kasseri, and she mistook the dull god as her Sephiroth come back to be with her.
The spy fed Archon enough information that he was able to dupe her into thinking that he was her betrayed lover reborn as a god. That was why she agreed to set him up as her king and allowed him to rule over her, at least for a time.
Are you sure he wasn't?
Yeah, very much so. Kasseri loved Apollome. He gave his life for her and for their son. There was nothing altruistic about Archon. He was much like you. Apollo's eyes narrowed, but he chose to ignore the dig.
Who is he working with?
No one knows. Archon refused to betray his informant. He was too grateful to be king of his own pantheon to ever give over the name of someone Apollome would have surely gutted. Apollo considered that for a few minutes.
Was Kasseri ever reborn?
Again, no one knows, but I'd say he must have been.
Why?
Because someone fathered Acheron. Knowing Apollome as I do and how she is, I would lay my money and life that Kasseri was the father of both her sons. You find out who Acheron's real father is, and you will find out who Apollome really loves.
Do you think he's still alive?
DeCostas cradled his coffee mug as he considered it.
That would be the question of the day, wouldn't it?
Orion growled as he cowed the dragon bastard in front of him. He'd had it with the scaly beasts. Zin appeared between them.
Problem?
The dragon raked a look over him that said he'd like to have a little Daemon barbecue.
No,
Orion scoffed. Keep walking, Barney. Clubhouse is on your right.
Zin screwed her face up at his words. Barney?
big purple bastard. Drives you insane with asinine bullshit, just like your friend here. He jerked his chin toward the lumbering dragon who'd left them. Brushing her hand through his hair, she kissed his cheek.
I have so missed you.
Orion closed his eyes and savored her warmth.
Come estinzoi, mo più amorfi.
She smiled.
You make my life more beautiful, too.
And that was one of the things he adored most about her. She actually spoke his language. Rubbing his stomach in a way that set him on fire, she stood way too close for his comfort.
Have you heard from Shadow yet?
He shook his head. He'll let us know as soon as he finds more housing. That had been their first quest upon leaving the bedroom, find new homes for their friends here, as they both knew Falcon wouldn't be keen on sharing whenever he returned. Speaking of, they heard a sudden loud bellow as her brother and Medea returned.
Fun times,
Zin said with an overly exaggerated smile.
Let's go torment the big guy, shall we?
Laughing, he followed her. True to her words, she met Falcon with a charming grin and grace that only she could pull off.
Like the new decorations? Wall-to-wall dragon?
The grimace on her brother's face said that he didn't appreciate her attempt at humor at all.
Ah, hate you so much.
Zin took his irritability in stride.
Ah, you're not fooling anyone. I know you missed me.
Falcon made a disgruntled face at her.
Like a bleeding hemorrhoid.
Orion crossed his arms over his chest. While he didn't appreciate the tone, he'd stand down, only out of respect for the fact that he understood sibling banter. There was no malice back in those words. Had anyone else said something like that to Zin, he'd have handed them their throat. And if Falcon had hurt her feelings, they'd be having blows. Yet as long as she continued to laugh, he'd behave. Falcon grimaced.
So, what do you plan to do with all of these beasts, Zin? I'm not planning to let them move in, you know. Definitely not comfortable with them here.
Zin smiled adoringly.
Why not? It's rather cozy, don't you think? That pink one really goes well with the decor, and it'd keep you from being lonely.
She batted her eyelashes playfully. It was all Orion could do, not to double over with laughter. Falcon let out a sound of supreme disgust.
You know why. And don't start on me. As the old saying goes, doors on the wall.
She snorted like a horse.
Oh, relax, you old mangy beast. They're not planning to stay anyway. We're just messing with you.
His relief was tangible. Zin met Medea's gaze and shook her head.
How do you put up with him?
I think he's hilarious. She popped Falcon on the stomach.
This one's a keeper, brother. You better not let her go.
Orion had just gone over to help one of the dragons who was having problems with his wings when a light dimmed near them. The dragon tensed.
Easy. It's just Shadow returning.
He'd know that power surge anywhere. Sure enough, Shadow popped in across the room near Zin. Inclining his head to Falcon, he approached Zin and Shadow.
Any luck?
Shadow nodded.
Yeah, I have a few more willing to shelter dragons.
Falcon let out an audible sigh.
Shadow, you're my man.
Shadow let out a nervous laugh.
Since when?
Since I saved your ass. How are you feeling?
Like I had the hell beat out of me.
And you're welcome. Crossing his arms over his chest, Falcon's expression said those words chafed him, yet the gleam in his eyes betrayed his amusement.
How has Varian failed to gut you in all these centuries?
Not from lack of effort on his part, I assure you. I'm just quicker than he is.
Falcon shook his head.
Anyway, I'm glad to see you back on your feet.
Glad to be back on my feet,
especially without Varian hovering over me like some great hairy mother.
And I heard you made friends with the little brother Lombre.
Yeah, you can keep him.
So everyone keeps telling me. He's actually not so bad. Get him liquored up and laid, and you can get about 5 or 10 minutes of peace before he's in your face again.
Falcon made a face of distaste.
So that's your secret.
Basically, I find it works on most people.
Falcon laughed.
And why is it that I think there's a little more to it than you're letting on?
Again, he's not so bad. You just have to understand where he's coming from. We're all creatures of the hell that birthed us, are we not?
True.
Falcon stepped back as one of the dragons approached them.
Are the sanctuaries ready?
He asked Shadow.
Shadow nodded. They're being prepared. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
He placed a kiss on Zin's cheek, and Falcon then turned toward Shadow.
Can I beg a favor?
Shoot you in the head? Sure. Falcon rolled his eyes and ignored that comment.
Can you get me back in, near my son?
Shadow made a truly spectacular sound of scoffing disbelief.
And what level of special stupidity have you achieved, Dragon? I know you took a significant hit to the head, but didn't realize it had given you brain damage. Should we get you a CAT scan? Dog scan?
Ha ha, and I'm serious.
Yeah, so am I. I actually like having my bollocks attached to my body. While I don't get to use them as much as I'd like, I still prefer the comfy feeling of having them there over the alternative of seeing them in a jar on my desk.
Then you'll help me, or I know what to attack.
A tick started in Shadow's jaw.
Really hate you, Dragon.
Fine. But if you're caught, I don't know you. Never saw you, and I've no idea how you got there. And I'm sending Lombre to rescue or kill you, whichever, his choice.
How have you managed to live so long without anyone killing you again?
Told you, I'm fast on my feet.
Shadow sighed.
So when do you want to partake of your suicide?
Falcon glanced around his crowded home.
Now would be a good time. It'll keep me from freaking out over my OCD.
Zin scowled.
OCD?
Overpopulated communal den, he pointed to the group. Get rid of that while I'm gone.
She rolled her eyes at her brother.
Ugh, you big baby. You never did learn to share.
Oh, that's not true. I learned to share pain and misery early on.
No, no. You learned to deliver pain and misery. Big difference. Being a carrier and deliverer isn't the same as sharing, Magios. Do not confuse those terms.
You're determined to annoy me, aren't you?
Zin smiled.
Always. Aren't you glad now that you woke me?
Thinking I should have overlooked your statue,
Falcon growled in the back of his throat.
Blaze, why did we wake Zin again?
You missed her,
he called out across the room.
I lied.
Zin pushed him toward Shadow.
Go on and take him before he has a nervous breakdown, or I kill him.
Medea laughed. Come on, dragonfly. Orion went over to Zin as they headed off.
Should I have gone?
Nah, they'll be fine. Besides, I like having you here.
He liked being with her. For too long, he'd been alone.
Zin watched as Orion went to help the younger ones, and her heart broke for him. She had so much guilt over what she'd done. By helping her brothers, she'd abandoned him. She hated the years that had been stolen from them. Damn Apollo for this. Somehow, she was going to make it up to Orion and pay Apollo with interest. Apollo froze as he saw Morgan approaching his throne. Her hair was singed, her dress torn and filthy.
You look a little worse for the wear, love.
She actually shot a blast at him. You bastard! He arched a brow at her.
Temper, temper.
Be careful with that, lest I take offense.
Take all you want! What happened to the Dragonstone you promised me?
Patience, the game isn't over. Just a slight reset on the board.
She frowned.
What do you mean?
He let out a long, weary sigh.
I forget that you're not a god. Playing with people's lives isn't something you've much experience with.
Sometimes you have to let things run their course. Meaning?
She repeated.
Meaning the good guys had all the dragons, now they don't. And Orion holds the blood of Apollyme, Bet, Set, and Acheron.
Morgan sucked her breath in as she finally understood.
He's the key to bringing them all down.
Isn't he, though? And you know what we've just discovered?
A slow smile curved her lips.
The source of his undoing.
Apollo nodded slowly. With Phoebe under his control, he didn't need to find Acheron's father. He had something even better at his disposal.
Acheron's comeuppance.
Because that was the beauty of being a god of prophecy. He knew the future. The final fate of the world, of all humanity, wasn't really in the hands of Acheron or even Apollyme. It was in the bloodline of Orion's family. And now? It was in his.
October 28th, 2017. Medea had dreaded this moment for days, but it was something that had to be done and something that she didn't want Orion to discover on his own. Better the news come from someone he loved than to be dumped on him by accident. How she'd allowed Falcon to talk her into doing this in Acheron's palace on Kataterras, she had no idea. She definitely loved the beast. Only that could account for this level of insanity. But in the end, he was right. It was better that Orion be comfortable and surrounded by family when he learned the truth than to be blindsided and surrounded by strangers. That wouldn't bode well for anyone. Still, this was nerve-wracking. The huge marble palace was awe-inspiring, as one would expect the home of ancient gods to be. It had been built to impress, and she was definitely not immune to its austerity. Acheron's throne was set off to her right, on a massive dais, where several small, little dragon-like creatures were currently curled around and napping with Acheron's two sons. The way the creatures were entwined, she wasn't even sure how many of them there were. Simi and her Karante sister were on the floor to her left, watching some shopping network channel on a massively huge monitor that was mounted to the wall on her left. Completely content, they were eating barbecue-drenched popcorn out of a bowl they shared that was perched between them, while Acheron's steward, Alexion, and his wife, Danger, kept it filled to capacity. Orion's father, Styx, met her and Falcon in the doorway. At almost 7 feet in height, he was an impressively handsome beast. Dressed in a casual blue button-down shirt and jeans, he was a far cry from Ash's preferred goth style.
Yeah, we know. But it keeps them out of trouble and stops them from putting horns on the babies' heads.
Medea laughed as she saw that Urien's birth mother, Bethany, was holding their youngest son in her arms and cooing to the toddler.
So this is the little Heracles I keep hearing about from Big Brother Orion.
With her black spiral curls pulled away from her face in a ponytail, Bethany rubbed her son's back. Her caramel skin was flawless over sharply chiseled features.
Would you like to hold him?
I might keep him if I do.
Ari smiled as he looked up at her.
Mimi?
Completely sunk, Medea took him and was at a loss the moment he wrapped his arms around her neck and hugged her with a giddy squeal and bounce. It had been so long since she last held a baby that she'd forgotten just how wonderful it felt to have such unbounded affection. That was the hardest part about being around daemons. They couldn't have children. Only Apolytes could. Falcon brushed his hand through her hair.
You okay?
She nodded. You're screwed, though. Word of warning? I want a bunch of these again. He wrinkled his nose as Heracles squeezed Falcon's finger and bit it.
I don't know. He's kind of smelly and leaking out both ends.
Bethany laughed. It doesn't bother you when it's yours who smells that way.
You say so.
He met Styx's gaze doubtfully. Styx cleared his throat.
I'm agreeing with Beth all the way. That's because my brother is not a fool.
Acheron came in and clapped his hands on Styx's shoulders. Medea froze at the sight of them together. While she knew they were identical, except for their eye color and hair color, and that only because Acheron artificially colored his black and red, it was still shocking to see them side by side like this. If the two of them put their minds to it, there would really be no way to tell them apart. Spooky. Dear gods, who's dead? They all froze as Orion came into the room to catch them gathered there. Please tell me it's Stryker. There was no missing the hopeful tone in Orion's voice. Not funny? Medea handed Heracles back to Bethany as she braced herself for the last thing she wanted to do. How in the world was she going to tell Orion about Phoebe? Now she wished she'd taken Davin up on his offer to be here for this confrontation. But then she wasn't a coward, and Orion was her brother. I can do this. Falcon put his hand on her shoulder to let her know that he was with her. She took comfort in his presence. And with a deep breath, she braced herself for what was going to be a horrible reaction real bad. There's something I need to tell you, Orion. Something you're not gonna believe.
I won the lottery?
She rolled her eyes at his misplaced and extremely irritating humor. No. It's about Phoebe. The color faded from his cheeks. When he spoke, his tone was brittle.
What about her?
There was no easy way to do this. So she settled on just ripping the Band-Aid off as quickly and mercifully as possible. Stryker didn't kill her that night. She's still alive. God, that sounded harsh even to her own ears. She could kick her own ass. Delicate, thy name is not Medea. He staggered back into his father's arms and would have fallen had Styx not been there.
What?
Breathe,
Styx whispered in his ear.
I've got you.
Orion shook his head.
It's not possible.
I feel that, brother.
But she had to be strong for him. And she had no choice now except to see this through.
Both Davin and I saw her. She's alive, Orion. Just not the same.
Orion's head spun from the emotions that took turns assaulting him. Disbelief, anger, pain, betrayal. He couldn't even settle on one. As soon as he thought he had one emotion, it melted into another. He glared at Asheron.
Did you know?
I swear on my mother's life, I had no idea. She's not human, so I can't see her fate. It's beyond my powers. If I'd have known, I'd have told you.
Orion blinked and blinked again as he slowly digested her news.
Stryker knew.
She nodded weakly. Of course the bastard knew. Why would he think otherwise?
Why didn't he tell me?
He didn't want you to feel guilty for what she's become, for what she did.
What?
He scowled at her.
What she did?
Medea looked away, as if she couldn't bear to tell him that part.
She went Trelos, Uri. She attacked the commune where you had her housed.
No.
They'd have told him. She was lying. He glanced over at the one person who would know.
Ash, if this is true, is there any way to get her back?
Asheron shook his head.
Not that I know. But I'm a god of fate, not one of souls.
He looked to Styx's wife. She shook her head.
Wrath, warfare, misery, and the hunt. You need someone hunted down and killed with extreme prejudice. I'm your girl, but I was never in charge of souls either, sorry.
Falcon sighed.
And I'm a war god, too. What a worthless lot we are.
Although.
They turned to stare at Asheron. Ash bit his lip as he considered something.
This is a long shot. I mean, Hail Mary pass of all time.
What?
Orion stepped away from his father.
I might know somebody who can help with this. Xander.
Orion considered that. Xander was a dark hunter currently stationed in New Orleans. Part sorcerer, he was one of the darkest powers, so much so that Artemis had only gotten a part of his soul.
Who is he?
Medea asked. Asheron sighed.
He deals with transmutations and is the only non-demon I know who can bargain with Jaden and Thorn. If anyone can help you, he'll be your best bet.
Medea looked hopeful.
You think he'll do it?
Ash let out a nervous laugh.
I don't know. He's a tricky son of a bitch. But he does have a weakness.
And that is?
Orion already knew before Ash spoke.
Brenna Adams and Kit Boy. They can talk him into most things. Maybe, just maybe, they can talk him into this.
And if they didn't, Orion would drag him out and kick his ass. At least, that was his thought until he turned and saw Zin standing in the hallway that led to his bedroom, where they'd been when Medea had arrived. The instant his gaze met hers, he knew she'd heard every word of this exchange. And the hurt in her eyes hit him like a sledgehammer to the groin. What the hell, Fates? Were you bitches bored? For the majority of his life, he'd been bitterly alone. In his life, he'd only had two women he'd ever really loved. How could he choose between them? Torn and terrified, he headed toward her. She stepped back into the shadows. Orion rushed after her, praying she didn't use her powers to vanish. If she ran, he wouldn't be able to track her. Zin? Thankfully, she stopped and turned to face him. You should go to her. He heard the tears in her voice. Talk to me. You don't want me to talk to you, Ori. I'm Dracomai. In the mood I'm in, I might hurt you. Her eyes flashed to their serpentine dragon form. I know this isn't your fault, that you didn't know, but the dragon in me doesn't care. Her breathing turned ragged. This is why we couldn't be together when you were a daemon, because what lives in me is as dangerous as the demon in you, and it doesn't share. You're too close to me, and a dragon will kill what it loves before it shares it. We are not selfless creatures. Her skin was turning into scales. Orion cupped her face in his hands and kissed her. The moment he did, she calmed and stopped turning. Tears swam in her eyes. You're my first love, Saraxon. My best friend. And Phoebe owns your heart. Don't think I haven't heard the others speak of it. How you've pined for her? He winced. You think I didn't mourn you too? Every bit as badly? Ask Davin. He looked back toward the throne room. They don't speak of it because they weren't there when you vanished. Davin was. My brothers were. It was the same when you were gone. I was a shell of pain for a century. Aye. And telling me you got over it in the arms of another isn't what I'm saying. God, Zin, please have mercy. If Phoebe is Trelos, I'm to blame for it. Think of how I feel. I did this to her. I killed her. Then we will sort this out.
That shocked him.
You'll help me? No. I'm going to kick your ass for getting into this mess. She glared at him, then kissed his lips tenderly. Why do I love you? You make me so crazy. Don't! She cut his words off sharply. You don't even say that until we have Phoebe. And this? She indicated her body. Off limits, buddy. You're stewing in your juices, and you better be grateful I'm not adding fire to the kettle. He was a sick bastard that he found her amusing. If anyone else talked to him like that, even Acheron, he'd have their ass on a platter.
Yes, ma'am.
Her green eyes flashed emerald fire. You better be damn glad you have the finest ass I've ever seen on any man. Are you sexually harassing me? And you better be glad I am. Because that's the closest thing to sex you're getting until we get this matter settled. Someone cleared their throat. Orion glanced over his shoulder to find his father standing there with a frown.
Well, I guess that answers my question as to whether you're all right. The way you took off, I was worried. I can see there was no need.
Orion cringed. This was not how I meant for you two to meet. Clearing his throat, he stepped aside so that his father could see Saraxon, who was dressed in a pair of jeans and a tight black t-shirt. Her long red hair was a mass of thick curls that hung to her waist. Zin, this is my father, Styx.
It's an honor, sir.
She held her hand out to him.
Likewise.
The amused glint in his father's eyes darkened as he turned her hand over and examined the tattoo on the inside of her forearm just above her wrist. It was a dragon mark, similar to the one Falcon had, but different.
You're a werehunter.
Please don't insult me. Dracomai, much older than they are.
Are you related to Falcon?
We're all related. My mother's Lilith, my father's Helios. Orion's eyes widened at a fact he never knew. The Titan? She nodded. We don't converse, though. We had a falling out a long time ago. I wasn't as fortunate as Orion when it came to my father. I was unfortunately stuck with just a penis. Shocked, Orion felt his jaw drop, but thankfully, his father laughed at her words. He clapped Orion on the arm.
I adore her. Trust me, your mother said something far more shocking to my father when she met him. And at least neither of you were naked when you met me.
Pardon? Orion scowled at that weirdness.
Ask your grandfather about the day we met.
And with that, he wandered back to the others. Not sure I want to. He turned back toward Zin.
Do I?
Zin let out a long, tired sigh as she stared at those perfectly sculpted features that she'd always thought were identical to Stryker's. However, now that she'd met Styx, she realized Orion favored his real father a lot more. Probably not. Irritated and torn between wanting to slap him and hug him, she reached up to run her hand through his hair, then she yanked it. Why does my relationship with you have to be so complicated? What can I say? The gods hate me. Indeed, a daemon forced to work with the Dark Hunters. If that's not hatred, I don't know what is. Zin had no idea how true those words would prove to be until a short time later, when they knocked on the door of a peculiar dark purple shotgun shack in the heart of the French Quarter. Fanning herself with her hands, she blew out a deep breath to help alleviate the fierce, oppressive heat. Isn't it supposed to be winter here? Orion laughed. Welcome to one of New Orleans' infamous heat waves. If you don't like the weather, wait a minute. Huh? He winked at her. Meaning that's how fast it changes, like a teenage Gemini chugging Red Bull on a party line. That reference was completely lost on her. Ash shook his head before he knocked on the door. An instant later, it opened of its own accord. Most people might think that odd or creepy, but where they lived, it was just par for the course, normal. Ash stood back for Orion to go first.
Entree.
Orion laughed at Asheron's invitation. Yeah, I don't think so. First daemon in the door usually gets staked. How do you think I've lived this long? I'm not about to walk into a Dark Hunter's house uninvited. He smacked Ash on the arm. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. He clicked his tongue at him. Ash appeared less than amused.
Don't make me rip out your esophagus and beat you with it.
That threat would carry more weight, Uncle, if we weren't related now. Orion grinned at him.
Après vous.
Ash passed a smirk to Zin.
Tell me something. Is or was he ever sweet and cuddly?
She shrugged. Only after sex. With a visible shudder, Ash led the way in.
Oh, so not go in there.
Then, under his breath, he said,
No wonder you two get along. Sheesh.
Laughing, Orion pulled Zin into his arms and put her in front of him. What are you doing? Equality. My lady dragon, you're my meat shield, because I know the hunter can't harm you. He kissed the back of her head playfully as the door behind them slammed shut with an eerie thud. Zin would be offended, but for the fact that she knew Orion better. If anything were to happen, he'd be the first to trade his life for hers. Daemon, keep talking. I'll throw you out in daylight.
Not a threat anymore. Uncle Ash made me dayproof.
Really?
Yeah. I did. I'm regretting it now. Should have crispy fried his ass before I released my brother from captivity and learned Urien's mother was a goddess of equal power who really likes him.
As if he were guided there by something unseen, Ash headed down the narrow hallway that led the length of the house to the far back left room on the first floor. Following along, Zin ran her finger down the flocked dark burgundy wallpaper. She'd never seen any place decorated like this before. The style's called Victorian and brocade. Orion pointed up at the black chandelier over their heads, which hung off the main staircase. They had a morbid fascination with the occult, hence the jet crystals. You slept through a lot of changes. Indeed she had. Ash knocked three times on the door, which opened alone, just as the front one had.
It's not dusk, ancient wonder.
The thickly accented voice came from the center of a four-poster bed that had thick burgundy draperies pulled closed around it.
Why are you here, Ash, and bringing friends, no less?
Zin could feel the man's powers. Very few had the essence of his. These were more akin to shadows than Asherons, or Orions, or even hers. Unnaturally born. His had been inherited after birth and finely honed by years of practice. Yet beneath that, she sensed that some of them had been stolen. Who was this man?
Sorry to disturb, Xander, but we need your expertise.
He let out a soft growl before he parted the curtains. Only he didn't touch them. As with the doors, they flew back so that he could look at them while he lay in bed on his side.
I wasn't a morning person when I was human. That hasn't improved since my conversion to a dark hunter.
He stretched languidly, then yawned. Suddenly, he froze.
You want me to do what?
Zin glanced around. No one had spoken.
We'll wait for you in the parlor.
Ash's tone wasn't a question. It was a definite get dressed and move. As they walked, Zin took Orion's hand and rubbed his chest, amazed at what an incredibly handsome creature he was. His features were so elegantly sculpted, and the way he wore his pale hair pulled back into a tight ponytail only accentuated their chiseled perfection. He was flawless in his beauty, and that loose-limbed way he walked, total confidence and all predator. Even when he was unsure, he still exuded this aura of power that was delectable. The only time there was ever a chink in his feral armor was when they were alone, or whenever he was around family he was completely comfortable with. Which showed her what he thought of Asheron. Ash was one of the chosen few who knew the real Orion. And she wondered if he understood what a privilege it was for Orion to show his playful humor or to let down his guard. Her daemon didn't do that lightly. His life had been too harsh. Something that became immediately apparent when Xander entered the room. Orion let go of her hand and crossed his arms over his chest. He took one step in front of her and widened his stance to provide a shield for her. Not to be rude, it was an instinctive need he had to protect what he cared about. He gave her plenty of freedom to maneuver, but his stance made it clear that in order to get to her, someone would have to go through him first. He was also positioned to cover Ash's vulnerable side, with his back to the wall and his gaze facing the window and door. Ever a predator, ingrained to the very core of his soul. And the Dark Hunter picked up on it too. He was dressed in a pair of black jeans and a black t-shirt, his skin a rich, golden arrowwood. His head was shaved, but by the stubble lining his chiseled features, she could tell it must have been raven black. Given his coloring, she would have assumed him to have dark eyes, yet his were definitely not. In fact, they were as spectacular as Asherons and Orions. The right one was a light icy green, rimmed with a darker shade of moss, whereas his left eye was a kaleidoscope of amber and rust bisected by shades of yellow and green. Unnerving in their beauty, those eyes seemed ageless and betrayed a deep-seated tragic past that tugged at her heart. Like Orion, he was a creature of secrets and power, and it bled from every pore of his body.
So, Xander said slowly, what's up, Daemon, not Daemon, and Dark Hunter, not Dark Hunter, and Lady Dragon, so beautiful I won't even categorize you because that would be a disservice to one of your grace.
Orion cleared his throat. Her name is Zin. And eyes to me, if you want to keep them.
No fear. I only have eyes for one lady, and I would never shame her. That being said, even though I adore my house and have no personal interest in any other, it doesn't mean that I can't appreciate that which someone else calls home.
Zin had to give it to the man. He was slick and charming. She could only imagine how many women had lost themselves to those eyes and that honeyed tongue, and Orion slid a look to her that said he suspected she might not be immune to it. She blinked innocently. You need to be taking notes, buddy. Smiling, she stepped forward to wrap her arms around his waist and squeeze him tight. While she normally didn't play into anyone's insecurities, she knew that it wasn't in Orion's nature to be like that, nor was he jealous. However, Xanthia's infidelity had left a vicious scar on his soul, and the last thing she wanted was to open that wound and make it bleed. Orion placed a gentle hand over hers.
We have a little situation. How much do you know about soul exchanges?
He let out a dark laugh.
Second only to Jaden. Why?
Orion paused as he considered where to begin. This was so complicated. He didn't even know how to start. My wife, whom I thought was dead, has apparently gone Trelos. Is there any way to pull the souls out of her and restore her? Actually, that wasn't as complicated as he thought. Xander narrowed his eyes on Ash.
You want me to help a daemon?
Yeah, believe it or not.
That's a tough one.
He flicked his fingers open. Fire lit the tips as he held his left hand out. A book flew from the shelves to land on the desk in front of him. It opened itself and turned to a page. The fire left his fingers to swirl around the blank pages for several heartbeats, but didn't burn them. Instead, the fire revealed the words as if someone or something unseen were writing. Orion stepped closer to read over his shoulder. However, he'd never seen anything like that alphabet. It wasn't alchemy or any of the ancient languages he knew. Xander made all kinds of strange noises.
You people don't believe in making things easy, do you? Not really. We could try, Psyche, but last I rang her bell, she came with a 200-pound tumor.
Xander scowled at Asheron.
Pardon? Eros. She came with Eros.
He shook his head.
This is useless.
He threw his hand out, and the book skittered back to the shelf. The flames on his fingers went out.
Simple answer is, I don't know. Where is she? In Colossus.
Xander let out a deep guffaw until he realized they weren't joking.
Wait. You're asking a Dark Hunter to descend into Daemon Central to save a Trelos daemon that even daemons fear. Are you fucking kidding me?
Orion gestured to Xin.
We've got a dragon. And I don't have a head injury or a fatal dose of stupidity, nor am I suicidal.
What if I said pretty please?
Nice, daemon. Real nice. You're an effing comedian. And while that might get you a guest appearance on someone's late show, it's not going to get me down your daddy's bolt hole.
But you will do it for me.
Xander let out a fierce growl at Asheron.
I'm reassessing this favor you think I owe you.
Don't think. I know. And remember that Orion is my nephew. I would be terribly put out if anything happened to him.
Xander raked a slow hand over his face. On one condition.
That is?
Ash cocked his hip as he waited. He counted them off on his fingers.
I want to see me with a fresh bottle of barbecue sauce.
I can do that. I'd planned to send her with you anyway to keep a certain goddess from eating your head for breaching her portal.
Good.
Xander stepped back, clapped his hands together, and made a sound like a hollow cymbal. It echoed through the room with an ethereal recoil.
Shallow.
The call was low and deep. Not the typical kind of shout. Oddly enough, particles in the air began to swim about as if caught in a vortex. Light formed a cone. An instant later, Shadow appeared. He glanced around the four of them, then grimaced.
Why? Why is it never Emma Stone? Gail Godot? Hell, I'd settle for Artemis. No, it's always one of you losers whining for me.
He looked up at the ceiling.
Why, Lord? Why? Stop. We have a favor.
Of course you do. Figured you didn't want a weather report, and I know you didn't call because you were worried about my health or wanted to play Parcheesi. You're all a bunch of selfish assholes.
So what can I do for you? We need to get into Colossus. He left a much higher pitched sound than Xander's.
What? You're serious? Who's been knocking back Drano's shots?
He narrowed his glare on Orion.
Remember what happened last time I opened a portal for you? Didn't end well for me.
I'm still bleeding through my t-shirts.
True.
Would it help if I said I appreciate you?
Not even a little.
I thought you had a sister for this.
She's preoccupied with her brother.
Urien indicated Zin. Shadow growled.
Have I said today how much I hate hunters?
Urien grinned. Yeah, but we're not listening.
Hope you all get eaten by Apollyme.
Shadow looked to Asheron. Except for you, you're to stay here. Because I don't want the world to end. It might suck, but not as bad as it would if she and her kin were in charge.
No worries. I know the drill.
Ash winked.
See me? Human form.
The tattoo on his forearm peeled itself off to manifest before them into Ash's teen goth demon daughter, who was wearing an adorable panda onesie. She blinked at all of them, yawned, and then changed into her typical skirt and corset wear, complete with a set of purple and black cyberfalls.
Are we having a party, Akri?
No, Simiki, sorry. I need you to go with them to visit Apollyme. Do you mind?
Not at all! The Simi loves her goddess, Akra. She's the bestest!
Ash nodded, then paused as he met Xander's gaze.
What?
Just thinking, this would be better if we had a curling going in.
He looked at Shadow.
I know you don't, but do you have any friends?
I do have friends, for your information. Shadow turned toward Urien. Think we can pry Brogan off Blaze for a little soiree? He pulled his phone out of his breast pocket.
It's worth a try.
Zin was still baffled by that little device. It was quite impressive. Meanwhile, Simi came over and took her arm.
What's your favorite people to eat, Akra Dragon?
You know, Simi, I haven't eaten any in a while.
Oh, Akri has you on a diet, too. This is just so wrong. He won't let me eat hardly any things. It's just so hard. But it's how I maintain this girly figure at my age.
Before she could comment, Urien slid his phone back into his pocket.
I have good news and bad news.
Xander made a face that said he felt a bit sick at the prospect.
What?
An instant later, Blaze and Brogan both appeared.
I got your curling, but she comes with a 200-pound tumor.
Blaze appeared baffled by his comment.
What?
Asheron snickered as he clapped him on the back.
Inside joke at your expense. Sorry, Blaze.
What else is new, Ash? Everyone takes a pot shot at the dragon. We're low-hanging fruit. So large we're easy to hit, so everyone takes a shot.
Brogan lowered her hood to expose her braided dark hair. The petite fey witch was absolutely exquisite. Like Simi, she appeared so frail and harmless and yet was capable of extreme and utter violence. She held her hand out toward Xander.
You must be the reason Urien called. I'm Brogan.
Xander.
And this is Blaze.
Xander smiled.
A curling death seer who commands a mandrake and a chrome, that's something I've never seen before.
He clicked his tongue.
I take back what I said, Shadow. You have impressive friends.
Yet remember that next time you insult me? As they made ready, Zin caught the look in Orion's eyes. She stepped over to him.
Are you all right?
He nodded, but she knew better. And as they headed into Colossus, she had a bad feeling that things were about to go all kinds of wrong. Something about this wasn't right. Trouble was, she'd been dormant for so long that a lot of her powers weren't reliable yet. She still felt weak from whatever spell had been used on her. Urien hung back from the others. He let them go through the portal. But when Zin started to go, he kept her with him. She looked up with a questioning brow. He sensed that she wasn't at her full strength. Yet she said nothing about it. For him. She was going into this not knowing what they'd face. He didn't take that act of loyalty lightly. Nor was he willing to risk her lightly. Summoning his powers, he let them flow into his arm. Then lifting her chin, he kissed her. Zin felt the surge Urien gave her. And it wasn't just from his kiss. He'd handed over a portion of his strength to her as well.
What have you done?
He smiled down at her.
I'm trained to fight at half strength. You're not.
And with that, he fell back into the portal. Stunned, she met Asheron's swirling silver gaze. He shrugged at her.
Tori thinks I'm headstrong. I've got nothing on that one. I haven't been able to do anything with that dumbass since the day I met him, and the gods have mercy on you.
Rolling her eyes, she went in after Orion, cursing him with every sickening twist of the vortex, which, thanks to Shadow, didn't drop them into the main hall at Stryker's feet. Because Shadow was able to manipulate the nether realm between the worlds, he took them in so that they arrived not far from her old cave. She actually envied him for the powers, in a way. They would be nice to hold for a bit, but with them came a profound loneliness and solitude that made what a dragon endured seem kind in comparison. As soon as they landed, she caught the look on Shadow's face. Feeling for the dark demon, she went over and kissed his cheek.
Thank you.
Startled, he stepped back from her. Zin scowled at his reaction. You act as if no one's ever thanked you before.
They don't, normally. Not sure how to handle kindness. It terrifies me.
That was the biggest tragedy of their kind. Or perhaps that was the biggest indictment against humanity, when kindness and decency became so rare that people no longer knew how to respond to it? Or when having witnessed a kind act, they felt the need to comment on something that really should be so commonplace that it never should be newsworthy? If anything should ever be so common as to be taken for granted, surely, in the name of the gods, it should be kindness and not cruelty. Shadow glanced around the dull landscape.
Ah, I see today's forecast is gloomy with an overcast of doom and despair. I like it.
Should we build a summer home?
Blaze laughed. My soulmate, we should hang out more.
Brogan appeared offended by that.
You fickle beast. I thought I was your soulmate. Now you're making overtures to Shadow. I can't leave you alone for 5 minutes.
She sighed heavily.
Would it help if I said he's not as cute as you?
Not really. Damage done.
Xander sighed.
I'm thinking this might have been a mistake.
Shaking his head, Orion laughed. Brother, I think that every day. Shall we? Ash had just returned home when he found Styx waiting for him.
Where's Orion?
Oh shit didn't quite capture the feeling of dread that ripped through him as he realized just how badly he'd screwed up. Because he was used to dealing with Dark Hunters, he wasn't used to thinking about the fact that Orion now had parents. More to the point, he wasn't used to remembering that Orion had a mother and a father who would kick his ass if anything happened to him. Ash gave his twin a nervous grin.
That's a bad sound, brother. That's the kind of sound you normally make that precedes my desire to hurt you.
Styx crossed his arms over his chest as he pinned him with a gimlet stare.
Let me remind you before you kill me that in order to get your son, you'll have to go into the domain where my mother resides, and she won't be happy if you harm me.
The look of disgust on his face might actually have been amusing if Ash hadn't felt so bad about causing it.
What did you do? He wanted to go after Phoebe.
Ash hadn't been cussed out that effectively or colorfully in ancient Greek in a number of centuries. It was impressive. Styx finally stopped long enough to issue one fierce command.
Open the portal to Colossus. The one I control will take you straight to Stryker. I don't give a shit where it goes. Get me down there so I can find my child now.
Bethany appeared instantly. What's going on? Styx gestured at Ash.
He let our child loose in Colossus to go after his Galu-infected wife.
And now Ash was being cussed in ancient Egyptian and Atlantean, which brought Tori out of the main room into the hall where they were gathered. What in the world is going on? Is that Egyptian? Ash gestured at them.
I pissed off my family again, and yes, First Dynasty.
Bethany's eyes flared to red.
Tori, can you please watch Ari for a bit? I have to go find my oldest and drag him home before he does something stupid. Sure.
Open the portal, Asheron,
Styx repeated.
Stryker
won't stand in my way. Bethany immediately pulled her hair back into a ponytail. While Ash would argue with his brother, he was going to cede that point to Bethany. Given the fury in her eyes and tone, he had no doubt that Stryker would get his ass kicked effectively.
All right, then.
He opened the portal.
Orion has friends with him. Please, try not to skewer Simi.
That seemed to calm Styx a little.
Thank you for sending her with him. You really think I wouldn't? I didn't think you'd send him.
Stop arguing, Bethany snapped. Get to my baby. She pushed Styx toward the portal. I'm gonna beat both of you later. As soon as Ash closed the portal, he turned to see Tori's perturbed grimace.
What did I do to piss you off?
Smiling, she pulled him into her arms.
Nothing. You look like you could use a hug.
Finally, someone who wasn't mad at him.
I really didn't mean to put him in harm's way.
I know, sexy baby. It's all good.
Stryker was used to unexpected visitors dropping through their portal. Over the centuries, they'd had quite a few interesting creatures. Dark hunters, werehunters, a couple of gods, demons, forest creatures, a large number of Trelos. Stupid humans by the dozens, especially in the 90s, during the height of the vampire craze. He couldn't count how many goth counterculture members had dropped in, taken one look at them, and said, bite me, and not in a bad way. They'd wanted to join them. They'd always provided a quick and easy snack for his spotty warriors. Even his wife had dropped in at his feet a decade ago, but this was a first. An ancient Greek hero and an Egyptian goddess who landed on their feet with a searing glare that would have sent a lesser man scurrying for cover. As it was, Stryker remained seated and only lifted one insolent brow at the temerity of confronting him in his own living room, as it were. He tilted his head toward his wife, who came forward to lean against his throne that was made out of the bones of gods Misos had defeated long ago.
Phyra. I'm trying to decide if I should be flattered by their visit or pest.
Crossing her arms over her chest, she shrugged.
If they're bringing tribute, flattered. Any other reason, I say we skewer them where they stand.
Bethany scoffed. Try it, and I'll use your guts for shoelaces. Styx cleared his throat as he placed a gentle hand on his bloodthirsty wife's shoulder.
What my non-diplomatic better half is trying to say is that we're here on a mission of peace. And it's one that concerns you too, Stryker. How so? Since the last time I looked, we were enemies. Enemies or not, we have a common interest. Orion.
At the mention of his son, Stryker felt a rush of pain and anger, one that made him want to lash out as he remembered that Orion wasn't really his son. He was theirs.
What of him? He's here, seeking Phoebe.
Those words went through Stryker like ice. He came off his throne before he'd even realized he'd moved.
What do you mean he's here? As I said, and I'm not a fool, Stryker. You don't stop loving a child. He came here to find her and help her.
Damn him for the truth of that statement. Like it or not, he did still love the boy, even if he did want to beat him senseless. Stryker glanced to Zephira. She was his strength. When she met his gaze, she gave a subtle nod.
We have to find our son before he's harmed. Where would he be?
And that was why he loved her.
I don't know, but we'll find him.
Stryker ground his teeth in frustration as he glared at Zolan.
Fetch Davin and Medea. One of them might know something.
Bethany stopped Stryker as he started past her.
Was he really so hard to raise?
He let out a frustrated sigh.
He was a nightmare unimagined. And my greatest joy and pride.
Tears gathered in her eyes. She lifted her hand toward his cheek.
May I?
Stryker knew she was asking if she could share his memories of Orion's childhood. A part of him was selfish enough that he wanted to keep them for himself and deny her request, but then he wasn't quite that big a bastard. The rational part of him knew that he wouldn't have had so great a gift if not for his two enemies. So the real crime wasn't in the anger that lay between him and Orion now so much as in the fact that they had never known their son at all. He couldn't imagine a worse horror than what they'd experienced. To have the son they'd wanted so desperately ripped from their lives and given to another. His gaze went to the scars on Styx's arm, where he'd carved the name they'd intended to give Orion on his birth, Galen. No, he wouldn't be that cruel to anyone, enemies or not. So he nodded and braced himself for her intrusion. Closing her eyes, she laid her warm hand to his cheek, then reached to touch Styx with her other hand. But it wasn't until Styx gasped that Stryker realized she was sharing the memories with him as well. His head spun as he felt Bethany picking through his mind with a master skill. Strangely enough, she revived things inside him that he'd forgotten. Precious moments spent with Orion as a child when he'd once thought the world of Stryker. The night when Orion had picked up his battle helm for the first time and tried it on. It had fit over his head like a bell and sat askew to the point where the poor child had been unable to see. Still, Orion had stumbled his way into Stryker's bedroom to proclaim himself ready to battle by his side. He'd stood there, completely naked, save for that helm and his wooden sword and a towel he'd knotted around his neck.
"I'm ready, Soldren! Take me with you to battle the human vermin!"
Another time, when Orion had stolen the laces from his armor to make a present for Paris.
"Why, Orion? Why would you do this?"
"I didn't want you to fight and get hurt, Soldren, and I wanted a present for Paris, so it seemed like a good way to accomplish both goals."
How many times had he been on the brink of strangling the boy, only to have Orion turn around with a logic so sweet and loving that it pulled him back from homicide? Until the day he learned the staggering truth. Trathis had been as nervous as always, flittering about in his study.
"What are you doing?"
"I have news, Kyrios. Distressing news."
"About Acheron or the Dark Hunters?"
Neither.
That had stopped Stryker cold.
"What then?"
Trathis had swallowed hard and hesitated.
"Orion?"
By then, Orion had been his last surviving child. Stryker had lost all of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and two unofficial spouses he'd refused to marry, lest he give the women some false hope that they might claim a part of him that he was incapable of offering them. Since he knew he'd never loved them, it just seemed wrong to marry them under a lie. So many of his family had fallen that his heart had grown to ice and his blood had turned to pure venom. He was dead inside and he knew it. Except for Orion. His son alone held his love and devotion. Stryker had thought himself above being hurt until Trati spoke.
"Your son has married a daughter of the Eris's bloodline."
"What?"
"It is true, Kyrios."
Trathis had shown him the pictures of Phoebe and Orion.
"He's running interference between our searchers and her sister, Cassandra. He's been helping to cover her tracks."
And still a part of Stryker had refused to believe it. In the back of his mind, he'd convinced himself that Orion's enemies had concocted a lie to put distance in his heart for his son, to spread discord in their house. After all, it was just the sort of thing they would do. That was easier to believe than his son had betrayed him. But he hadn't been able to let it go. And so he'd gone to Elysia, and there he'd met Phoebe himself. The stupid chit had no idea who he was. She'd sat one afternoon and talked to him about the most asinine of topics until he'd wanted to strangle her. Why Orion had wanted to marry her, he couldn't imagine. While she was pretty enough, she was immature and insipid, gossipy about Hollywood starlets and soap operas, things Orion would know nothing about and care even less for. He tried to understand their relationship and had left even more baffled. Then he'd waited for Orion to tell him the truth. Stryker had dropped hints that he knew. But Orion had deftly turned the topic to something else. Until that fateful night, everything had gone wrong. He learned about Acheron being the true son of Apollome and her lies to him, that it hit him like a sledgehammer. All these years, he'd thought Apostolos was dead and that he was her chosen son. Instead, he'd found out that he was a puppet and Acheron was her beloved child. It had gutted him. Worse, Orion had killed their own to protect the bitch he knew Stryker wanted dead. So when Shanice's call had come in while Orion was out, that Phoebe had gone Threlos. Stryker had been torn between his duty as a father and to his people, and his fury over being betrayed. When he'd gone there, his intention had been to kill Phoebe, to unleash his wrath on her for the lives she'd taken. They'd fought and fought. In the end, he'd been unable to do it. For the first time in his life, Stryker had shown mercy. Instead of killing her, he'd brought her back to Colossus and locked her up. His intention had been to tell Orion later and let him deal with her. Then, when they'd faced Acheron and Wolf in Dante's Inferno, he'd absolutely lost his fucking mind. Acheron, a two-bit whore loved by Apollome, in spite of turning against her and her cause, surrounded by countless hunters who were loyal and willing to die for him in all his smugness. For Acheron to stand there, taunting and judging him when all he was trying to do was save his people. And Apollome, where they're taunting him about Orion's betrayal when he'd done nothing to deserve it. Because in the end, Stryker had only had one person in his entire life he could depend on. One person he could love. One person who loved him. And the gods had taken her from him. Everyone else used him and lied while they did so. They tried to kill him or threw him away like he was garbage, or worse, the gods took them from him and left him barren and alone. Except for Orion. He was the only one Stryker had depended on and needed. Then to find out that the one and only person he thought he could rely on was also a fraud. It had shattered him. The pain of losing that sole person in his world who loved him had been more than he could bear. It had destroyed him. And so he'd lashed out and done to Orion what the entire world had done to him. Since the moment he'd been violently thrust from his mother's womb into the cold and unfeeling hands of a wet nurse who'd rather see him dead than fed. But even then, he'd known that Acheron wouldn't let his son die. Stryker had merely severed their bond so that Orion couldn't hurt him anymore. Because Stryker knew that Orion was the one and only person who would always have the power to bring him to his knees. He was his son, his beautiful boy. Regardless of what Orion did or how badly he hurt him, the bastard was his son, and Stryker would always love him. No matter what pain Orion gave him, he wouldn't care. It was why he'd kept Phoebe alive, even though Stryker knew he should kill her, that so long as she lived, she was a danger. He couldn't do it. He couldn't lie to himself and everyone else about why he'd done what he'd done. He could lie about what happened to Phoebe. Tell them all that he'd killed her and cut Orion's throat. It changed nothing, because he couldn't kill what his son loved. And though he could cut his son's throat, he couldn't kill his boy. Worse, Stryker had relived that day a million times over and had lashed himself with guilt and remorse, with so many could-haves and should-haves. He would sell his soul for one chance to go back and change what he'd done to them. That was why he didn't believe hell was real. Life was hell. It existed solely to torment the living, and death was the reward for having endured it. Stryker choked on tears he hadn't realized were falling until Bethany dropped her hand from his face, released from the nightmares of his past. At some point during the horrors, Sephira had pressed herself against his back to comfort him and had buried her hand in his hair. His breathing ragged, Stryker wasn't sure what to expect from Styx and Bethany. Given the memories of Orion he'd just passed to them, he half expected both Styx and Bethany to gut him where he stood. Instead, Styx jerked him forward into a fierce embrace. When he whispered in his ear, His voice was thick with emotion.
From this day forward, we are brothers, Stryker. I will never again consider you my enemy.
Swallowing hard, he nodded. Likewise, Bethany wiped away her own tears.
Thank you for loving my son so. I am honored to share him with you. Now let's find him, so we can both set his ass on fire.
What do you mean we're lost? Orion glared at Davin. They had barely gotten to him in time with the Dragonstone before the Galu had struck and killed him. Even so, their rescue wasn't going quite as planned.
I'm still weak from my attack, so my tracking abilities are down.
Why isn't he a Galu? Blaze asked. I thought everyone they attacked converted.
Not if you eat one of them first, Davin flashed him a grin. You get all kinds of perks, we learned. Ability to walk in daylight, and a freaky immunity to their bites.
Xander scowled. So it's like a cure.
If we had enough Galu to go around, yeah. That's why we've been leaving Dark Hunters alone these last few years. You're not our primary targets anymore, the Galu are.
Xander gaped and turned toward Orion.
Did you know that?
Yeah, doesn't everyone?
No, they don't.
Xander's phone started ringing. The shocked expression on his face was quite comic.
Their cell service in hell.
Davin laughed. We have cable and internet, too. Hell would not be complete without reality TV and telemarketers. Snorting at his sarcasm, Xander answered his phone, and the soft, tender way the tough guy spoke made them all stop and stare at him.
Hey, baby, no, I'm sorry. I should have left a note, but it was Ash, and it came up suddenly. Yeah, I'm a thoughtless ass. You know that.
He paused to glare at them.
Be back soon. You too. Bye.
In a huff, he hung it up and slid it into his pocket.
What, you jackals?
Davin's eyes widened.
Thought Dark Hunters couldn't have a girlfriend.
Could be my boyfriend, you don't know?
Xander pushed past him. Davin let out an evil laugh.
Actually, I do. And if you were family brother, I'd be all over that.
He glanced down to Xander's ass.
Believe you me, anytime you're ready to turn, give me a shout.
Rolling his eyes, Xander cast his gaze around at the lot of them.
It's none of anyone's business.
Orion passed a knowing look to Xin. He knew that level of pissed off. That was a man who had a serious relationship with someone he wasn't supposed to and didn't want to discuss it. Wow. And he thought he had problems. Which he did, hence this trip through hell.
Where exactly are we?
Blaze asked.
A dark and bitter forest,
he snorted at Zin's answer.
Ha ha, sis, ha ha, not what I meant. What is this place used for?
This is no man's land, Orion pointed toward the dark wall to their left that was covered with steeled thorns. What you want to avoid is crossing to the barrier lands where the souls of the damned reside. Those are some nasty bastards. Back in the day, some of the stronger Appellites tried to feed off their souls.
Did not go well for them, Davin shuddered.
Yeah, we had a huge problem with Trelos outbreaks. But when you're desperate enough, you do dumb shit.
Xander stopped dead in his tracks to stare at them.
So what? Your people ate the souls that were here.
Orion nodded. Not like we had a lot of choice. He jerked his chin toward the barrier. My father, with Apollomy's help, erected that barrier when we were teens to help confine the most corrupt souls that he feared our people couldn't handle. A strange glow came over Xander's body. He turned a slow circle.
Not all the gods are dead here.
Shadow drew up short.
He's right. I feel it too.
Orion sensed nothing. He turned towards Xin.
I've got nothing. It feels the same as it always has.
Xander held his hand out toward Shadow. Without hesitation, Shadow took it. The two of them grew quiet as a breeze began to blow around their small group. Orion moved to cover Xin and Brogan, along with Blaze and Davin. His arm began to glow, even though he couldn't sense whatever they were picking up on. I'm still getting nothing. Shadow looked at the wall.
I think it's coming from in there, Could a god have gotten in?
Zin had a bad feeling when Brogan asked her question.
Or was she or he already inside when they were put there?
And made stronger. That was a terrifying thought.
Anyone else getting an ulcer? Blaze gulped audibly.
Mine just had twins, Shadow said with a sigh. Mazel tov.
Let's back away from the barrier. Zin grabbed Orion and pulled him toward the city where the Daemons lived.
You think Phoebe might have taken refuge there?
Orion really didn't like Xander's question.
It's possible, but...
He broke off as he felt the strangest sensation. Something slithering up his legs. His head began to spin.
Orion?
He heard Zin, but he couldn't respond or move. His breathing turned thick and ragged. Everything spun. One moment, he was reaching for Zin, and the next, he was in a vortex. Only he hadn't summoned a portal. Rushing winds filled his ears as he tried to get his bearings to figure out where he was going and how he'd stumbled into one when he hadn't been moving. When he hit the ground, it was so hard it broke the band holding his hair, causing it to spill out over his shoulders. Worse, he smacked his head against the concrete hard enough to momentarily rattle his senses. He hadn't been hit that hard since Archie had sucker-punched him. Damn, he'd forgotten how bad it hurt to be hit unexpectedly. Pushing himself up, he blinked and scanned the huge, cold room to find himself inside an ancient temple similar to Apollome's. Only this one was made of deep, glittering obsidian. Large jade pots were set apart every few feet so that they could burn with an unholy green fire that cast eerie shadows on the walls.
I would apologize for the rough landing, but I only wish it had been harder for you.
Orion froze at the sound of Phoebe's bitter voice. Shocked, he turned around to find her sitting on a throne almost identical to Stryker's. That was stunning enough, but it wasn't the most jaw-dropping element. Oh no, not by a long shot. Gone was his timid, sweet little wife. The woman on that throne had her golden hair teased up and braided in an elaborate, ancient Atlantean style. Dressed in a sheer, shimmering gown, she was the thing of exquisite beauty who had more in common with Apollome than his shy bride.
Caranti got your tongue?
She wasn't Trelos. Or was she? This Phoebe reminded him of that first Trelos he'd killed as a boy. The one who'd been so freakishly lucid and in command of himself.
You've changed.
Really? That's all you have to say to me?
Well, you did drop me on my head and rattle my brains, love.
She stood up from her throne with fury in her eyes. That was a look that used to herald a thorough tongue-lashing for him, and not the kind that he looked forward to, the kind that left him hard up and pissed off.
You broke your word to me, Orion.
Wiping at the blood on his face, he gaped at her.
You mean when Stryker cut my throat?
I called for you, and you didn't come.
I came as soon as I could, and I was told you were dead.
She ran at him and shoved him back.
How could you not know?
I wasn't a Daemon anymore, Phoebe. I don't have the same powers now that I had then.
You left me!
She shrieked, repeating her accusation. Orion caught her against him.
I thought you were dead.
How could you not know I was right here?
Again, Fee, Stryker, cut my throat. I've been banned from Colossus. I was protecting your sister like I promised you.
What else have you been doing, huh?
He scowled. What? She slapped him.
How long? Until you found your dragon bitch and crawled back into her bed.
Anger tore through him at her accusation.
Oh my God, Phoebe. I haven't gone near a woman in years. I've lived in hell because of you. Are you kidding?
Then why are you glad to see me?
You dropped me on my head.
He enunciated each word slowly.
You attacked me. You slapped me. What do you think?
Furious beyond endurance, he gestured at the door.
I came here to help you, even though I'm banned. I aligned myself to the Dark Hunters, whom you know I hate. How much more could I do to prove to you that I loved you?
She grabbed him and then sank her fangs into his neck. Orion hissed in pain. Damn, he'd forgotten how much that hurt. And now that he was no longer an Appellite or Daemon,
He didn't get the adrenaline or sexual surge from it. All he felt was the agony. Apparently so did Phoebe. Shrieking even louder than before, she lifted her head and shoved him back.
What did they do to you?
I told you. Stryker killed me because I helped you and Cassandra. That finally seemed to get through to her. She blinked at him. Your father killed you.
Yeah. How many times do I have to tell you that? Why do you think I don't live here anymore?
Grimacing, he wiped at the blood on his neck. The fury returned to her eyes.
You murdered my grandparents, you bastard!
He did do that. Orion couldn't deny it.
You weren't born then.
You think that makes it okay? No, but
you lied to me about so many things!
When she moved to slap him again, he caught her wrist. I'm not your whipping boy, Phoebe.
You used me!
He shook his head. I protected you, and I loved you. She bared her fangs at him.
You're incapable of love!
Those words lashed his heart and left it bleeding.
You're wrong about that.
She snatched her hand from his grasp.
Had you loved me, you would have told me the truth. You wouldn't have allowed me to care about a monster who destroyed my family. What? Did you laugh at us? Did you think it funny that you kept me like a toy while your father killed us off one by one?
Oh my God, Phoebe. I lived in hell the entire time I was with you. I loved my father, and because of you, I was forced to lie to him. She shook her head.
No. You chose
to lie to him. She punctuated her words by poking him in the chest.
You chose, Orion. You could have left him at any time and stayed with me, but no. You must have enjoyed the lies, or you wouldn't have gone crawling back to him constantly.
It's not that simple. He was my father.
And yet, you live with your enemy now. How quickly you got over it, huh?
This was insane. She wasn't making any sense.
And you could have told me at any time you were still alive. Why didn't you? Look around!
She threw her arms out to indicate the walls around her.
Your father locked me in this hellhole and threw away the key.
She shoved him again.
I screamed and screamed for you. I kept thinking that surely you could hear me, that you would love me enough to come. You never did!
Her shrieks tore through him. Not just the words, but the fear that he had heard her and had dismissed it as nightmare hauntings. Because she was supposed to be dead. He'd heard so many voices in his head for so long. How was he to know that hers was real?
What do you want me to do, Phoebe? Apologize? I'm sorry. I never meant to hurt you.
But you did.
Tears welled in her eyes.
And I refuse your apology. There are some things that sorry doesn't fix.
Fine. I'll take you to Cassandra. And she cut his words off with a bitter laugh.
You don't tell me what to do, and you don't own me. Remember, we're Appalites. You carry my last name, Orion Peters.
That was their custom. Since paternity was never an absolute given, but everyone knew who the mother was who birthed the child, it was Appalite tradition to trace lineage through the mother's family and to assume the wife's name upon marriage. As the Appalite saying went, Mama's baby, Daddy's maybe. He wasn't sure where she was going with that. Not until the thorns around the room began to thicken.
What are you doing?
Orion summoned his sword. She laughed darkly.
Planning to use that on me?
No,
he hoped.
But what's going on?
A cold, sinister smile curled her lips.
You left me here to rot, Orion. I'm returning the favor.
The floor below his feet buckled and released the souls he'd warned the others about. They rushed him with a screeching howl.
Apollo!
She called out.
See our bargain met. Behold the son of your enemy. I deliver him to you in exchange for my freedom.
Shadow, what do you mean you can't get through? That's your shtick. You're a cockroach. You get into places no one can.
With an offended scowl, he turned to face Blaze.
Really, Mandrake? Cockroach? At least I don't lick my own balls. And for your information, whoever constructed that barrier did a bang-up job of it.
That would be me.
They all turned to see Apollome in the mist. Zin went cold at the ethereal beauty of the ancient goddess, who eyed them all with malice. Her black gown blended in perfectly with the darkness, but her white hair and eyes seemed to glow, making her appear even more haunting and frightening. Her gaze went to Styx, Stryker, and Bethany, who had found the others. Then to Zin.
I should be furious.
She narrowed her gaze on Xander.
Beyond rage. And if this were anyone other than Orion, I'd skewer the lot of you for being here. As it is,
Apollome threw out her arms and the walls opened.
Wish you'd join the party sooner,
Bethany had the audacity to admonish her. Apollome's jaw dropped. Yes, I yelled at you. I have not forgotten the ass-whipping I still owe you. Remember that I was pregnant at our last encounter.
Not pregnant now, Paul? You want a rematch?
Anytime.
Beth, Beth, Beth.
Styx pulled her gently away from Apollome.
Let's not anger the nice goddess who opened the door so that we could get our son, okay? Focus on Uri. Your baby needs you. Save the whoop-ass for the bad guys who have our child.
She pointed her finger at Apollome before she nodded. Okay. Zin expected Apollome to blast her. Instead, the goddess actually smiled. When she realized Zin was watching her, she gave her a smirk.
What? I've always admired Bethania.
Zin wasn't about to get in the middle of that. Besides, she had more important things to think about, like finding Orion. Running to catch up with the others, she quickly learned why this wasn't the side to be on. Holy evil. The screams that echoed on this side were deafening. Zin covered her ears. Even Simi was grimacing. Xander looked at Stryker.
Why don't you eat some of this and shut them up?
Really? You just went there?
Given how loud this is?
Yeah.
Shield your ears,
Apollome warned. Zin knew what was coming. She transformed into a dragon, an instant before Apollome let loose with a sonic blast so loud it shattered two of the walls around them. She barely extended her wings in time to shield her charges from the rubble of the ceiling that rained down on them. Styx was the first to recover from it.
Thank you, Zin.
Yes, Bethany petted her on the wing. Thank you so much.
No problem.
She carefully lifted her other wing to make sure everyone was safe. Luckily, no one had been harmed.
What? No one thanks me for stopping the noise.
Apollome shook her head.
Ingrates? I'm always surrounded by ingrates.
Bethany grimaced at her.
We wouldn't be ungrateful, Polly, if you hadn't dropped a house down on top of us.
There's just no pleasing you.
Slackjawed, Bethany looked at her husband.
Why did you stop your conquest?
One more day.
Just one more friggin' day.
Don't go there.
Zin changed back into her human form and moved to stand next to Brogan, who was being strangely silent.
You have something? I'm not sure.
She had that glassy, odd look about her that she got any time she was communing with the ether. Then Brogan's eyes cleared.
We have to hurry.
She took off at a dead run. They followed. By the time they reached the other side of the barrier, Zin was both proud and horrified as she saw her daemon in all his bloody glory. There were bodies everywhere. Orion stood with his shield and sword as he held them off, but they were about to overrun him. Closing her eyes, Zin used her powers to cover him with her armor while she summoned her own gear for herself. She ran into the fray and rolled to come up behind him and catch the Adonai who was about to attack him there.
What kept you?
I had to get my nails done.
Orion laughed at her answer.
Should have gotten your hair done while you were at it. You're getting split ends.
Like you're one to talk? When was the last time you had a trim? And what's that growth on your face? You a man or a goat?
She stabbed over his shoulder to catch the one in front of him, then twirled to catch a second one and then a third. Orion stopped her before she could go after a fourth. He had a cut on his face that made her heart sink.
Thank you.
With a quick kiss, he let go and stabbed an assailant on her right.
Ori?
He paused to look back at her.
Sakapo.
In the past, he'd never allowed her to tell him that she loved him before. She wasn't sure how he'd take it.
He reached out to touch her cheek.
You
are my other half. Nothing could have meant more to her, because she knew he didn't speak those words lightly.
Damn a daemon! Who did you piss off?
Xander shouted.
Where are these things coming from?
Yeah, Shadow concurred. Who opened the gate? Blaze kicked his opponent back.
Better yet, how do we close it?
The only one happy was Simi, who was making barbecue of them.
You have Apollo and Morgan to thank for this. Apollo stole Hades' scepter.
Apollomy cursed under her breath.
The one that opens the portals between the worlds?
Yeah, that's the one.
Xander growled.
Back to my question. How do we close it?
Blood of Apollo and Apollomy.
Orion faced them.
In other words, me.
Xin had a bad feeling as she heard that note in his voice. It was one she'd heard a few other times, right before he'd done something dramatically stupid, usually for one of his brothers or sister.
Don't you do it, she growled. So help me, Ori, don't you make me drag you from hell to beat your ass.
We can't leave it open, Xin.
Then she saw. Time slowed down as she held her breath. He was going for the stupid win. Her soul screamed out as her fear paralyzed her, and before she could gather her wits to do anything to stop him, Stryker teleported. He grabbed Orion and disarmed him, then flipped him into her arms. An instant later, he let them take him in Orion's place. Xin fell to the ground with Orion on top of her. She wasn't sure which of them was the most shocked as they stared at each other. All she knew was how delighted she was to have him here. Orion couldn't believe he was still alive, or that he was cushioned by his dragon. But his relief was short-lived. Panic replaced it as he remembered what Stryker had done. Pushing himself up, he quickly surveyed the battlefield, which was now eerily quiet. Shadow and Xander were turning around, looking for more enemies. Brogan was holding Blaze. Simi was, well, she was snacking. And his parents were heading for, no. Orion couldn't breathe as he saw Stryker on the ground. In that moment, he forgot all the anger and hate he bore the man. Forgot the fact that he'd wanted him dead and had plotted his murder. All he saw was the man who'd held him when he was a boy. The one who used to chase monsters from under his bed. His father, who taught him to tie his sandals, to walk with pride and integrity. The one who'd thrown himself to his enemies to save his life.
Baba!
Orion ran to him.
Baba, no!
Tears filled his eyes as he fell to his knees by Stryker's side and gently rolled him over. He was covered in blood, his breathing ragged. He was barely alive.
Miss I, O de Caloteru, O Baxai, Migos.
You are the best thing on earth, my son.
I'm so sorry I ever hurt you.
Orion grabbed him by the shirt with both fists.
Don't you dare die on me, you bastard! Don't you do this to me or Medea!
Summoning every bit of his determination, grit, and fire, Orion heated his arm until it glowed bright and burned like wildfire. By the gods, he was not going to let Stryker go. The gods and fate had taken enough from him. He was not going to let them rip another fucking thing from his life. Not again, not like this. He was done with it. Blinded by tears, he sent everything he had into his father, his strength, his powers. Most of all, he sent his love. In spite of everything that had happened between them, they were still family.
Please, please, Baba.
Weeping, Orion laid his head down on his chest. But there was no heartbeat. Damn you gods. Damn you all. And then he felt it. His father's hand in his hair. The softest beat of his heart against his ear. Followed by a deep intake of breath. Orion let out a nervous laugh as he lifted his head to meet Stryker's gaze.
He smiled at him, the way he used to when he was a boy.
Goodness, child. Does this mean you're talking to me again?
Unable to speak past the pain and relief he felt, Orion nodded.
Well, hell, son. If I'd known this was all it'd take to make you forgive me, I'd have killed myself a decade ago.
You're not funny, Baba. Stryker wiped away his tears and kissed his forehead.
And I'm not your only father, either.
He jerked his chin toward Styx and Bethany. Zin helped Orion up, while Styx helped Stryker to his feet. Styx let out a deep sigh.
Again, Stryker. We're family.
Stryker nodded.
We are. Now where's Phoebe?
Snorting, Orion pulled his hair back into a ponytail to secure it. Not where she thought she'd be. Xander looked around.
What do you mean?
Simi came over with her barbecue sauce.
He means that his Phoebe's in the corner rocking like she's got the rabies.
Pardon? Simi pointed with her bottle. His arm glowing, Orion headed for Phoebe. While he didn't know exactly where she was, he had a good idea of the vicinity. It didn't take long to find her. As Simi said, she had the rabies, and the minute she saw Orion, she had a bit more. She started to run away, but Orion caught her. I'm not gonna hurt you, although he really felt like it. Her eyes appeared wild as she glanced from him to his companions. What are you gonna do? Honestly, I feel sorry for you, and for the fact that Apollo had lied to her. He looked over his shoulder at the others. Apollo promised to free her if she gave him some of my blood. I don't know what he needed it for. Once he had it, he sicked those bastards on me and left her here. Apollomy scoffed.
Apollo lying. Imagine that.
Yeah, anyway, now that we know you're not completely Trelos, I'm thinking that since Asheron fixed me, he might be able to fix you. Phoebe gaped.
You're forgiving me?
No. You attacked Davin. You let Apollo infect my father and stepmother with a virus that almost wiped them out.
Although I thank you for that because I got Brogan out of it,
Blaze murmured.
Shut up, Blaze. Well, I'm just saying, we don't all hate her.
Orion glared at him, then returned to the topic at hand. You attempted to feed me to them, so
I want a divorce, Orion.
He arched a brow at that.
I've been caged my whole life. First by my father, then my mother, by you, and here. I want to be on my own in the real world. I'm tired of being tied to other people and living by someone else's rules. I just want to have my own life for me.
Orion held his hands up in surrender.
You got it. I won't argue. I'll make sure you're provided for.
Phoebe laughed. Peter's heiress, remember? Don't need it. I have my own funds.
Fair enough. Do you at least want your sister's address?
She nodded. That I do want. Orion handed her his phone and unlocked it.
Press 2 and it'll ring Cassandra.
While she went off alone, he turned toward the others. I think our crisis of the moment is over. Shadow burst out laughing.
No, it's not, princess. Apollo has a scepter that can open portals and your blood. That's a recipe for extreme disaster. My ulcer just had quads.
Xander nodded.
He's right. This is going to get bad.
We need to pool resources to stop him.
Stryker sighed heavily.
Is what he said true?
Xander jerked his chin toward Davin.
Your daemons don't live on souls anymore.
It's true. Why?
Then I'm thinking we should enter an official truce.
Stryker nodded.
One caveat. We're not the only daemons out there. We're only one small group.
But I can mark them, Apollomy offered. That way the Dark Hunters can tell my Spathi from the others. I'll give them a mark that no one else can copy or duplicate. It'll be seen only by the Hunters' eyes so that they won't be able to hurt them.
That'll work.
Bethany smiled.
Who would have ever thought we'd be on the same side?
Grimacing, Styx scratched nervously at his neck.
I have to say, I'm not comfortable bedding down with Atlanteans.
Bethany smacked him on the stomach. Hey, now! He laughed.
You don't count.
Stryker stepped aside with Orion.
Are we good again?
I don't know, Sorin. You did cut my throat. I am kind of fucked up. Orion cracked a smile. But I'm your son, so I think normality and sanity sailed away a long time ago. Given that, I guess we are. Stryker pulled him into his arms and fisted his hand in his hair like he did when Orion was young.
I've missed you so much.
Those gruff words were growled against his ear.
Missed you too.
For a minute, Orion didn't think he'd let go. Finally, he pounded him on the back and stepped away. Then Stryker paused.
You're welcome to come and go. I've kept your place just as you left it. No one's bothered any of your things.
And that told Orion more than anything how much his father loved him. Thank you.
All right, I'm off to tell my daemons to stop killing Dark Hunters. That might take a while to sink in. 11,000 years of instinct is hard to reset.
Davin nodded. He's not wrong. I still want to crap my pants every time I see Asheron. He glanced over to Styx. Or you, because you look like him. Simi let out a horse-like snort.
Oh, poo on that! Akri a sweetie! He not kill no demon what he don't gotta!
She hiccuped.
Oh, that one bit me back!
Phoebe came over and returned Orion's phone. She sniffed back the tears from her face.
Thank you.
You all right?
She nodded.
Can you help me get to Minnesota?
Sure, I'll go right now if you want.
I'll see the others back.
Zin passed her thoughts to him.
You take care of Phoebe. I'll see you later.
Orion nodded before he headed to the portal with Phoebe so that he could see her settled. It didn't take long to see her to Cassandra and Wolf's. The moment they arrived, Cassandra let out a shriek. He was surprised it didn't orbit the world 1,000 times. Even their dog whined over it. And when Phoebe saw the kids, she burst into a round of tears that was truly stellar, especially over little Phoebe. Wolf clapped him on the back.
Guess you'll be relocating here after all.
Orion shook his head.
We're not back together.
What?
Long story.
Man, I'm sorry.
Wishing he felt as bad about it as Wolf did, Orion sighed.
Appreciate it.
Uri! Uri! Uri!
Jeff came running in to take a flying leap into his arms.
Ugh!
Orion barely caught him.
Dang, boy, what have you been eating, rocks?
Laughing, he hugged his neck.
Are you staying long?
Nah, sorry, I have to get back. Did you meet your Aunt Phoebe?
Yeah, but they're talking about girl stuff. It's boring.
Cassandra and Phoebe came into the room to give him the same look most people gave to three-day-old cheese they'd left out in their car in August. Orion set Jeff back on his feet and patted him on the head.
Well, on that note, I better run before my testicles crawl any further into my body. I might one day want to use them again.
He left before it got any uglier or more awkward. But then he was used to not feeling like he belonged. In all the centuries he'd lived, all the places he'd called home. Never once had he felt comfortable or at peace. Never had he felt that sense of utter belonging. Nowhere. That was probably the strangest part of it all. Medea had moved in with his father and found her groove right away in Colossus, along with her mother. Davin and Paris had synced up the moment they met. Even Danger had shown up at Asheron's temple with Alexion, and the two of them had set up a home as if she'd always been there. Even the demon Zarina had moved right in with Simi and been fine. Now Phoebe was at home with her sister in a way Orion had never felt welcome. And he was lost still, adrift in his own loneliness. He felt weird in Colossus with Stryker and Zephira. While he spent most of his time in Kadateros, he was isolated in one room. Forever solitude. It was all he'd ever known.
Oh, well,
it was what it was. At least he didn't have the guilt anymore. That was something new, at least. Those were his thoughts, until he opened the door to his room to find it completely empty. As in stark empty, like a buffet after Simi and her sister went through it. What the hell? Had they cleared out his stuff for another baby? Stunned and a little pissed off, Orion turned around and went to find Alexion. Where's my stuff? Did we get robbed? Alexion stared at him as if he'd lost his mind.
Zen came and got it. I assumed you knew.
That only confused him more. Where'd she take it? He shrugged. Seriously? The bastard had no comment? Double hell. Frustrated that he'd play this game, Orion pulled out his phone and called her. Zen? Where's my stuff? He'd barely finished the question before he was teleported to her cavern. Orion hung up his phone as he glanced around the fancy, massive place she'd made for herself. Glittering and open, it held all manner of high-end electronics and expensive furnishings. His dragon swan had exquisite taste. But then she always had. In the center was what appeared to be a giant tree staircase. And when Zin came down it, wearing a slinky green negligee, he felt his throat go dry, and a part of his anatomy stand to attention, in great appreciation of her lush curves that had always set his body on fire.
You okay?
She asked, as she slowed her pace.
Not sure. Am I in the right place?
She laughed as she closed the distance between them. Is this not what you wanted? Did I read you wrong?
I don't know. What did you read?
Her cheeks turned bright pink.
Oh my God, Orion, are you back with your wife?
Why was she so pissed off at him?
Ex-wife, no!
He caught her arm as she started away and finally realized what she'd done.
You moved me in with you?
She gave him a no-duh glare.
Isn't that where we were headed?
Before Phoebe had shown up, yeah, but after that,
I thought you'd changed your mind.
Her features softened to a tenderness that made his heart beat faster.
We don't change our minds.
She kissed him tenderly, then took his hand to lead him toward the sofa.
I put your console there with your headset, and I bought you a comfy gaming chair.
Unable to believe his eyes, Orion stopped her as he realized how much attention she paid to the smallest details of his habits and likes. Tenderness choked him.
Saroxin?
Yes?
Love you. And I won't take you for granted.
Thank you.
For what?
For the one thing he'd never had in his entire existence. A place where he felt wanted, where he belonged. For giving me what I've never had before. A home. Epilogue. Xander shrugged his jacket off. What a screwed up night. The Dark Hunters were now allied to the Daemons. Hell had frozen over. Yeah, he'd finally lived long enough to be shocked. His mother and Confucius were right. If you sat by the river long enough, you would eventually see the bodies of your enemies float by. Strange, strange, strange.
Brenna, you're not going to believe the shit that happened tonight.
He frowned when he didn't find her waiting up for him. Weird. She had always waited up for him to come home.
Brenna?
Xander went through the house looking for his squire.
Brynn!
Was she ill? A bad feeling came over him. This wasn't normal. Suddenly scared, he pulled his phone out to check voicemail. The first two were junk, but the third one, it made his blood run cold. The voice was one he didn't know.
We have your squire, Dark Hunter. It's a brave new world. And if you don't do what we say, we'll send her back to you in pieces.
Bonus scene. December 16th, 9515 BC. Helen stood quietly at the window, as she watched Orion vanish with the others. Bitter, burning tears choked her. This was the last thing she wanted, to be separated from her children, even Stracurius. While theirs had been an arranged marriage, she'd grown to love him more than her own life. And though he'd been dyeing his hair black over these past few years in blatant defiance of his father, she still clung to the image of the fair-haired boy she'd married. The same boy whose face and form was evident in their beautiful sons. How she loved them not only for their strength and courage, but for the fact that they were their father's sons, that they were the unification of her life and Stryker's. "Why couldn't you love me?" Those whispered words were a crushing blow, a haunting torment that lacerated her heart. She'd given him everything she had, had placed him first before everyone in her life, save those of her sons and her daughter. It hadn't been enough. Others had blinded him to the purity of her love, to the fact that in her eyes, he'd been perfect in every way, a champion unlike any other, and it shattered her heart into so many pieces. "I may have lost someone who didn't love me, but you lost the only one who truly loved you, Stryker." Worse, he deprived their children of a mother who was willing to fight and die for them. Choking on a sob, Helen turned away from the window, unable to bear the pain inside. Damn the gods for this. How crazy that there for a moment, when she'd told Stryker she wanted to leave, she'd actually thought he might stop her. That he would care enough to argue, to fight for their marriage as much as he fought for those he claimed to feel nothing for. I'm such a fool. Nay, that wasn't the truth. He was a liar. Not just to her, but to himself. Because the day would come when he'd step back from his anger at the world and at the injustices it had given him and realize what he'd done, what he'd lost. Not for any reason other than he was stupid. Rather than appreciate the heart he had and the loyalty she offered, he spurned her for things she couldn't help, for things that didn't matter. She'd provided for him and their children, had loved him with the whole of her heart. The cure for loneliness isn't separation, Stryker. Too bad he wasn't bright enough to realize that. Yet. But the night would come when he would. That was the problem with regret. And it was why her mother had always told her to be so very careful in the company she kept.
Poison tongues breed discontent. Beware those who criticize what you love and who sow discord in their wake. For there is nothing in the world more abysmal than a lying tongue, or one who seeks to stir mischief where happiness lives. A malbeating heart that uses false flattery and guile. Beware her beauty, for it will burn and abolish all who succumb.
Too many around Stryker had spoken ill of his human wife, and rather than protect her and defend her, he'd allowed their opinions to color his own. Until it was too late. Now, he was surrounded by vipers who didn't care about him. They only wanted what they could take, and he was too blind to see it. And she, who would have starved to feed him, and would have given her life for his, was gone. What is shattered can never be made whole again. Drawing a ragged breath, she took the case Orion had set inside the door and carried it to the table. There was no use dwelling on what she couldn't change. She was back in her world now. More tears choked her as she thought of her son, her Orion and Paris, Theo and Archie.
Stop it!
But how could she not think of her children and grandchildren? The beautiful faces that she'd most likely not see again. Helen sank to the bench to weep out her utter misery. This was not what she wanted. How could she? She wanted her family back. Damn you, Stryker, damn you! And damn Apollo for his curse, for their marriage that she should never have been forced into.
Better that she remain unmarried and alone than be banned from her babies. Her hands shaking, she wiped at her eyes and struggled to control her heartache and pain. Sniffling back tears, she opened her case to dig out a cloth to blow her nose. Helen frowned as her fingers collided with a peculiar object. At first, she had no idea what it was. Not until she pulled out a small painting of her family. Her tears flowed even more as she knew instantly who'd placed it there. Orion. He alone would have been this thoughtful. A small token of his so that she could keep them ever near to remember their faces. I love you, my children. And she always would. If only the gods had been more merciful. Better yet, if only their father had loved her too. Then they'd still be together. United. But fate was a cruel bitch. And in her gut, she had a bad feeling that their father was about to learn the worst lesson of all.
We hope that you have enjoyed our presentation of Stygian by Sherilyn Kenyon, performed by Halter Graham. Performance copyright 2018 by Brilliance Publishing Incorporated, all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.